The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Topeka Capital Journal or its parent company, Morris Communications. Now, stay tuned for the news, followed by today's webcast of Jim Cates at CJ Online.
Good morning. Today is Friday, February 27th. Here's just some of the news you can read more about in the Topeka Capital Journal and on CJ Online. Trillions is the new billion. No longer is it a billion here and a billion there. That would add up to real money. Swap the T for a B. If you want to measure of what is at stake under President Barack Obama's first spending plan, Obama charted a dramatic new course for the nation Thursday with a bold but contentious budgeting proposal, proposing higher taxes for the wealthy and the first step towards guaranteed health care for all, accompanied by an astonishing $1.75 trillion in federal deficit that would be nearly four times the highest in history. Former Kansas Governor Bill Graves said Thursday evening the nation should embrace a 65-mile-per-hour speed limit, mandatory seatbelt laws, and traffic enforcement cameras to improve public safety. Graves, President and Chief Executive Officer of the American Trucking Association, said during a speech at the University of Kansas. Overall property values in Shawnee County stayed pretty much the same as last year, although they were up slightly for homes and down for businesses. The numbers were released Thursday by Shawnee County appraiser Mark Hickson, who described the minuscule 0.6% increase in property values as basically flat, a good place to be considering the economic state of the country. The fact that we didn't drop is a good thing. What would be better is if we continued to appreciate and not dropping. It's bad, but not dropping was not bad either. Today we will be partly to mostly cloudy, north winds 5 to 15 miles per hour, and a high of 39. After a short break, stay tuned for Jim Cates at CJ Online.
You got money to save, you better roll with a plan, because with an IRA you'll get some tax relief. You better roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Make your money move and roll it over to Rob the Shoemaker. You better rack in your brains trying to find an aid to lend a helping hand for your retirement plans. You better roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Let Roger take over. Make your money and move and roll it over to Roger Shoemaker.
Many people are looking at retiring or in transition between jobs. If this sounds like you, roll it on over and call me, Roger Shoemaker, to receive your complimentary, independent rollover portfolio strategy analysis at 785-228-0222. That's 228-0222. Securities offered through Next Financial Group, member FINRA SIPC.
Make your money and move and roll it over to Roger Shoemaker.
This is Joe Perry
and Steven Tyler of Aerosmith for Red. You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party down. Just don't get in that 2,000-pound bullet when you're done and cocked. And please don't drink and drive.
I'm the one that jaded you.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Placing 18th in the last Summer Olympics didn't earn many headlines for the Netherlands, and we rarely talk about who is 18th in line to succeed the president. When it comes to the health and well-being of Kansas children, 18th place isn't worth writing home about. The 2008 Kids Count Report, a nationwide study of the well-being of children, ranks Kansas at 18th. Though we continue to take steps that will improve the lives of Kansas children, we can do more. Find out what it takes to become the best state in the nation to raise a child. Visit Kansas Action for Children, KAC.
Hey, Jack, you got a sec? Jack, your hair's on fire.
Yeah, I know. I just need to finish the sales report and then I'll lie down for a bit.
But shouldn't I...
No, I'll be fine.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly has trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
We're back with Jim Cates at CJOnline.com, your source for live internet news, opinion, interviews, and conversation in Topeka. Here's Jim.
Good morning, and we're here with Jim Cates at CJ Online at the Roundabout Cafe.
And we are at the Roundabout Cafe, our new permanent home, folks. And again, we still have the Jim Cates breakfast special out here, biscuits, gravy, coffee, all for less than $3 at the Roundabout Cafe, 21st and Urish. And folks, we're not going to be out here just this week. This is our new permanent home, so we hope that you'll come out and see us. We thought we were going to be wired for sound today, to where we come into the Roundabout Cafe. You can actually hear the show. Well, you can't hear the show if you're in here today, but we hope to have everything up and running by Monday. We've got, some kind of a Dumaflachi Trish ordered that is going to give our listeners out here the opportunity to listen to us while we're broadcasting live at the Roundabout. But folks, for those of you that are hearing, we've got a pretty nice crowd this morning. When our guests arrive, if you've got a question or a comment for our guest any time that we have a guest on the show, all you have to do is just walk up, and we'll strap the headphones on you, and you can visit with our guest either on or off the air. So it's going to give you an opportunity. If you don't want to go on the air, but if you want to meet one of our guests, or if you simply have a comment for them, well, that's, again, the advantage of us broadcasting the show from the Roundabout Cafe, so take advantage of it. And Trish coming in a little, well, I'd say in about 15 or 20 minutes, we have our Secretary of Labor, Jim Garner, is going to be joining me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking about employment figures in Kansas.
Uh-huh.
Not good. No.
No, they're down a little.
Could be a whole lot better. And then at 9 o'clock, we've got Lee Reisinger and Bob Snyder are going to be joining us for our media roundtable, and both of them are former radio and TV engineers.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
So hopefully it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
It could be duller than dirt. We never know.
Yeah.
That's the thing about talk radio. You never know whether it's going to be interesting or whether it's going to be dull as can be.
And are we going to have our Dave Jackson back?
Dave Jackson's coming in at 10, and Lee Reisinger and Bob Snyder at 9, and Jim Gardner at 8:30, so that's our lineup.
Sounds like a day.
Well, it's going to be a lineup. I don't know whether it's going to be good or bad. We never know, huh?
We're always good.
My God, why did we get out of bed this morning and do this?
I can take that any day, no matter what the day is.
Well, since we've got a few minutes to kill next Monday, I'm not sure what's going to happen on the show next Monday either. State Senator Chris Steiniger is in the process of lining up someone to come in, and we are going to have, hopefully, each and every Monday from here on out, it's going to be a point-counterpoint show where we're going to have a Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, boy, girl, the whole nine yards. We're going to mix and match, and every Monday we're going to basically take a look at all the top two or three legislative issues of the week, and that's coming up Monday. So,
that'll be good.
Well, hopefully that's going to be good. You never know whether it's going to be good or not.
Yeah.
Shelley Beeler's coming in Tuesday. Now, Shelley's been on the show before.
Yeah.
She'll be good.
Yeah.
She'll be good.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
I see where she went up high.
We've got home show tickets.
Oh.
And the first person that steps up that wants tickets to the home show, we've got them.
That's always fun to go to.
They're absolutely free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, again, if you're out tooling around in your car, A, you're not listening to the show.
No.
But if you're at home, if you're thinking about coming out to the Roundabout Cafe, if you want free tickets to the home show, all you have to do is come up and we'll take care of you. And starting next week, Trish, we're going to have a lot of giveaways on
the show.
Good. Yes, indeed. We're building up our prize stage.
Uh-huh. So,
and that's once we get wired for sound out here,
then we
can get back into trivia and, just a lot of things that's going to basically get our audience out here, or get the customers of the Roundabout Cafe involved in the show.
You haven't seen my Rick in there, have you?
No.
He said he was going to stop in and get the Jim Cates special.
No, have not seen
him.
Well, biscuits and gravy and coffee.
That's his
favorite.
Not
a bad special it is.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to be talking about a few letters to the editor today. Always some interesting letters, and especially today. One, the mayor's taking a beating again on this library issue, and I'm once again going to defend the mayor. You know, the mayor we had recently in this community, it was a 5-3 vote on basically saying there's at least 4 books, if not more, in the public library to where kids shouldn't have access to these books. I could not agree more. You know, I think protecting the kids, we're not talking about adult censorship in any way, shape, or form. We're talking about protecting kids. I don't understand how anybody could oppose that, but they do. But having said that, the library board, by a vote of 5-3, voted to protect kids. And Bill Bunton has caught 9 kinds of hell because out of these 5 votes that voted to protect kids, Bill Bunton appointed 4 of these individuals. And we keep hearing that Bill Bunton was stacking the deck and stacking the deck in terms of censorship at our public libraries. Well, the thing that is never mentioned is the fact that Bill Bunton also appointed 2 people that opposed protecting children. So Bill Bunton was not trying to stack the deck. Out of the 6 appointees Bill made, 4 of which happen to be, I think, on the right side of the issue, but there are 2 other appointees that disagree with the majority, and that is the chairperson of the Topeka Shawnee County Public Library and one of the board members as well that Bill Bunton appointed that do not agree with the majority. So, to say Bill Bunton was in total responsible for stacking the deck, you know, banning books at the Topeka Public Library, it's just a bogus issue.
Yeah.
And again, you know, Jeff Preisner was on the show yesterday, and I think Jeff did a nice job on the air.
Uh-huh.
But Jeff got embroiled in this whole library issue because of Bill Bunton's supposedly stacking the deck again in favor of quote-unquote censorship. But it comes back to the fact that Bill Bunton, as mayor, can recommend appointees to serve on various boards and commissions in this town. But these appointees have to be formally voted on and approved by our city council. So hopefully, at the very least, what all of this has done, it's a wake-up call to our city council. If the mayor recommends somebody, take a look at that individual. If you don't know them, find out something about them before you go along to get along. You know, if we've got a group of elected officials that are simply going along to get along, whatever the cause, whatever the reason, that's not good government. You know, government is a system and a series of checks and balances. If government's going to work efficiently, truly to protect the public, protect the taxpayers, you've got to have a system of checks and balances in place. So I think that's what Jeff was missing when he attempted to politicize this issue, is the fact that apparently all 9 of our city council members signed off on Mayor Bill Bunton's appointments without knowing who these people were, without knowing anything about them. That is not the way the process should work. So, enough of that. Trish, let's take a break. A Roundabout Cafe, and again, the breakfast special, biscuits and gravy, coffee, less than $3 at the Roundabout Cafe. We've got a nice crowd out here. And folks, for those of you that are here, that are close enough to hear me, by Monday, hopefully we are going to be wired for sound, and we're going to move with all due speed on this, hopefully. Hey, before we take a break, I do want to give a plug to one of our favorite sponsors, and that would be Marvin Spies and Capital City Oil. Folks, if you own any leased vehicles, whether they're automobiles, trucks, check out the Cardlock locations owned by Capital City Oil and how these Cardlock locations can help you as the owner of fleet vehicles, whether you're the owner of 3 or 30 fleet vehicles, makes no difference. At least make the call to Marvin Spies at Capital City Oil at 233-8008 and get more information on what this is all about. Okay? Stay tuned. More to come.
You got money to save. You better roll with a plan, because with an IRA you'll get the tax relief. You better roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Roll it on over. You've been racking your brains trying to find an aid to lend a helping hand for your retirement plans. You better roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Let Roger take over. Make your money move and roll it over to Roger Shoemaker.
Many people are looking at retiring or in transition between jobs. If this sounds like you, roll it on over and call me, Roger Shoemaker, to receive your complimentary, independent rollover portfolio strategy analysis at 785-228-0222. That's 228-0222. Securities offered through Next Financial Group, member FINRA SIPC.
Make your money move and roll it over to Roger Shoemaker.
Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler of Aerosmith for Red. You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party down. Just don't get in that 2,000-pound bullet when you're done and cocked. And please don't drink and drive.
I'm the one that jaded you.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Placing 18th in the last Summer Olympics didn't earn many headlines for the Netherlands, and we rarely talk about who is 18th in line to succeed the president. When it comes to the health and well-being of cancer children, 18th place isn't worth writing home about. The 2008 Kids Count Report, a nationwide study of the well-being of children, ranks Kansas at 18th. Though we continue to take steps that will improve the lives of Kansas children, we can do more. Find out what it takes to become the best state in the nation to raise a child. Visit Kansas Action for Children, KAC.
Hey, Jack, you got a sec? Jack, your hair's on fire.
Yeah, I know. I just need to finish this sales report and then I'll lie down for a bit.
But shouldn't I...
Nope, I'll be fine.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly has trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
We're back with Jim Cates at CJOnline.com, your source for live internet news, opinion, interviews, and conversation in Topeka. Here's Jim.
And we're back with Jim Cates at CJ Online at the Roundabout Cafe.
Okay, hey, we're back. My home away from home. Of course, we're talking about Jeremiah Bullfrog, and located at 29th and Wanamaker. So, folks, again, we hope that you'll come. Come by the Roundabout Cafe and have breakfast or lunch, but for an evening libation, well, it doesn't get any better than Jeremiah Bullfrog's 29th and Wanamaker, my home away from home. Good morning, Kevin McKinty.
Good morning, Jim. How are you today?
I am doing very well.
All right.
You know, we were supposed to be wired for sound today, but hopefully by Monday, you know, when you walk in here, you can't hear the show.
Right, right.
But the place is packed.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. Look, good turnout today.
Well, this is a good thing.
Yes, it is.
But I think once we get wired for sound, you know, then we can really get everybody here involved in the show. We've got a lot of giveaways, trivia contest. We're going to get back into trivia, you know, for the crowd that's here.
Yep.
It'll be a lot of fun.
I need some more Jim Cates coffee mugs, Jim.
Well, we do. We
talk,
do.
Talk to your boss about that. Get him on the ball.
I know you were listening a couple of days ago. When Ken Borchers was on,
yes, I was.
We got an email from you.
Yes, I was.
What do you think about this whole issue of the Topeka Shawnee County Public Library, that we're, the path we seem to be headed down now, which might be the right one? You know, since we're talking about the taxpayers funding the Topeka Shawnee County Public Library to the tune of $9 million.
Right,
which
right.
Is a significant commitment.
Very significant.
$13 million a year to fund our library. That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
And since we're talking about getting into now issues of what I reference as community standard issues, you know, should we have books in the library where kids don't have access to them? That gets into a local community standard issue. Is it time that we go about the business of electing library board members? How do you feel about that? As opposed to the current system where we have 10 members, let me bring our audience up to speed on this, we currently have 10 members serving on the library board. Three of these members are appointed by our county commissioners, seven of which are appointed by the mayor.
Right.
Recommended by the mayor, actually officially appointed by our city council.
Appointed and approved by the county city council.
Yeah, right. But should we go about the business of electing these 10 people since we're spending $13 million a year of taxpayer money to fund our library, and if we're getting into community standard issues, where do you stand on this, Kevin McKinney, as you write a weekly column in the Metro?
I think if you do that, you're going to get a lot of people that when they go to the polls, you're not going to know who these people are anyway. I don't think there's going to be a lot of money generated or that much interest generated in it anyway to get that many people to want to run for it. I think what they ought to do is have each council person, each district, maybe bring somebody to the table instead of, you know, the mayor doing seven and the county commissioners doing three of them. Maybe seven of the district cities, you know, the council districts could bring appoint somebody. But you know, I don't know. I don't.
The reason you couldn't do that now because the county commission, of course, has three appointments,
right,
and that's based
right.
on the population breakdown of Shawnee County is the reason we have that 7-3
right.
city versus
right.
county split as far as appointees, and we have 9 city council members. So that would be the one reason why it couldn't be. Logically, it makes some sense.
I guess the two short straws wouldn't get appointed anybody. I don't know, but I think this whole deal is ridiculous, the thought that the accusations has been made that Bill Bunton stacked the deck to push his personal agenda. I don't buy into that. I don't buy it at all.
Well, I think you might have been walking in as I was talking about we hear a lot about Bill Bunton's 4 appointments.
Yes.
The 4 yes votes.
Yes.
To say kids aren't going to be allowed to read these 4 books in the Topeka Shawnee County Public Library. But the thing that is never mentioned is the fact that Bill Bunton appointed 2 other people to serve on this library board that voted no. So, you know, to say Bill Bunton's picks were all in support of a particular philosophy, not so.
Well, you're not.
It was a 4-2 split.
You're not going to hear that side of the story because that doesn't do a certain person's political agenda any good either. So you're not going to hear about that. You're just going to hear about the 4 that didn't that voted the way that Jeff Friesen, the way he sees things. He thinks the majority of Topekans are seeing things too. So. You're not going to hear about those 2.
Yeah. I had Jeff on the show yesterday. He was on for an hour. Did you?
I listened to him.
You got to listen yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, I have been surprised, frankly, at the firestorm this issue has created. You know, we're talking about 4 books, all of which I haven't seen any of these 4 books, but according to Kim Borchers and the people that have seen them, they're very sexually explicit.
Yes.
This has nothing to do with heterosexual sex, gay sex, lesbian sex. It's an issue of just graphic sexual descriptions that an 8-year-old now has access to in a public library.
Right.
I don't understand the firestorm. Who out there would want to allow children or encourage children to pick up this type of reading material at 8, 9, or 10 years old?
Well,
they're just simply not mature enough to...
No, and they're not. And most kids aren't going to see the stuff anyway. Most kids aren't going to go and pick up these books. Most kids aren't going to find it, but some of them probably will. And I think Kim Borchers is right in that it's just common sense. It's just common sense that we should be protecting our kids instead of just letting them have access to anything and everything and have everything shoved down their throats. I mean, that's the way society's going. It's gotten crazy. You know, the left or the supporters of, you know, the people that are all in an uproar about this, they just want anything and everything, and they like to keep pointing out that it's a public library, that, you know, it should serve everybody, but what they don't understand is that the people that support Kim Borchers, we're part of the public too, you know, so I don't know if there's a compromise that can be made here, but... Well, I think it's a good compromise. You know, the books are still available. They're still there. They're not banned. They're not mm-hmm. burned. They're getting all excited over a whole lot of nothing.
But, you know, Kevin McGinney, if we were talking about, you know, restricting access to adults,
right.
then I could understand the issue.
Right.
And I could understand why the battle lines would be drawn on this spot.
Right.
But we're not talking about restricting anything from
no.
adult usage.
No.
This is not about adults. It's not about adult censorship. It's about protecting kids.
It is, and it's not about. It's also not about discriminating against the gay community.
It has nothing to do.
No, it's not. But that they're trying to make an issue. There was a letter in the Capital Journal this morning about it. I can't remember the guy's name. Richard somebody. But you know, he's. Yeah, that's not what it's about. It's, you know, and there's such an uproar about how it's going to make Topeka look oh so backwards in the eyes of the nation and the world.
I think it's going to make us look very family friendly.
Well, I would love
to see this show hit MSNBC, CNN, and Fox.
Yeah.
Because I think it's not going to be a black eye for Topeka.
Yeah.
I think it's going to show the country that we are pretty close to the Leave It to Beaver standards in Topeka.
Yeah, there you go.
Not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing at all. You know, I don't see what's bad about being known as a community.
It's family friendly.
Exactly. And looks out for kids and takes care of their kids. You know, I don't think that they should just have unlimited access to just any kind of anything that comes along, regardless of what it is. It, you know, kids are restricted from everything. And I don't know.
Kevin, we've got a guest. He's
walking in the door.
He's walking in the door as we speak.
All right, gentlemen.
Room 235, what you calling about today?
Oh, I have a little bit about Mr. Prizer today and the whole press release he had last week.
Okay, are you going to formally, is this a formal endorsement of Mayor Bunton, a formal endorsement of Jeff Prizer?
No, it's not really a formal endorsement of anybody. It's more of a, I'm kind of disgusted in his press release. You know, he's trying to play a shell game, trying to make people believe things that just aren't true. So,
are you going to have a column after the primaries? Are you going to be endorsing anybody?
I probably will.
Okay,
I probably will.
Room 235. Yes. That's the name of the column.
And I like Bill Biden, but I don't know. I don't really know too much about the other people that are running. I just last week or earlier this week, I did find out quite a bit about Jeff Prizer. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
We can read about it in the Metro. You don't have a copy of the Metro, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
This is not a drop-off point for the Metro. You might talk to Denise Hall and find out why they don't have this as a drop-off point for the Metro. They sure should.
Yeah, they should.
Well, I think they do come to think.
All right.
They are in the back. This is a drop-off.
All right.
So, folks, you can pick up a copy of the Metro News at the Roundabout Cafe. And you can read all about it, Room 235, in today's Metro. Okay. On deck, Jim Garter. He is the Secretary of Labor for the great state of Kansas, and Jim's been a longtime friend, somebody I served with in the legislature. Have a lot of respect for the little rascal, but this is not going to be a real happy show coming up, not a real good news show, I don't think. No, Jim is Secretary of Labor for the state of Kansas, unless I'm going to be surprised if there's any good news coming. But we'll find out after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Jim Cates at CG Online, broadcasting from the Roundabout Cafe, 21st and Uri.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Placing 18th in the last Summer Olympics didn't earn many headlines for the Netherlands, and we rarely talk about who is 18th in line to succeed the president. When it comes to the health and well-being of Kansas children, 18th place isn't worth writing home about. The 2008 Kids Count Report, a nationwide study of the well-being of children, ranks Kansas at 18th. Though we continue to take steps that will improve the lives of Kansas children, we can do more. Find out what it takes to become the best state in the nation to raise a child. Visit Kansas Action for Children, KAC.org.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Topeka provides a safe and easy way of delivering prescriptions to your door and saving you money every day when filling your order over the border. We're the ones you trust.
Are you frustrated with the outrageous costs of your medications? Canada Drug of Topeka provides the exact same brands, the exact same manufacturers, the exact same prescription medications you have now, but with one major difference. A fantastic savings of up to 80%. Discover Canada Drug. Just call 272-6100. Start saving money now on prescriptions delivered directly to your door.
Saving Americans money. We're Canada Drug.
Just call 272-6100. Canada Drug.
Before the bear.
Eating well and playing go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy. It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat air?
Be active.
I'll move.
And don't forget to have fun. That's the way to be the best at anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
And we're back with Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Jim, we're back. With
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sure we are.
Hush! Okay. I talk, you're supposed to hush.
Well, I was explaining to Jim Gardner what was working in here and what isn't working. Well, you know, considering this is day number five in here, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to give credit to Dave Stormer and everybody at the Capital Journal responsible for this, a 9.
I think they did
a
good job.
Absolutely. You know, this so far, this is working pretty well.
Yeah.
Hey, I do need to mention.
I never know what to expect when I go on the Jim Cates show.
I just need you to behave yourself. And
hey, I do need to mention Janine Wells, leading realtor in Topeka, also the president of the Topeka Board of Realtors. Folks, she's not very busy this weekend because she had 6 listings 2 months ago. She sold everything. Everything sold. And folks, in today's economic environment, to sell 6 out of 6 listings, this isn't bad. If you're thinking about selling a home, you need to give Janine Wells a call. She's a Caldwell banker. Griffith and Blair agent, 267-8619. Is her phone number, and so give her a call. Janine Wells, a great sponsor. Good morning, Jim Gardner.
Good morning, Jim Cates.
I think it's a good morning. I don't know. Your mornings are a little full now. You had a job, you know, you were appointed. You and I served in the legislature together many, many years ago, and you're a legislator from the Coffeyville area.
That's right.
And currently living in Lawrence, and you were appointed by Governor Sebelius to serve as our Secretary of Labor.
That's right.
And to our work. No heavy lifting, at least for the first couple of 3 years. Not a bad job.
Yeah, that's correct.
Things have changed.
It has gone, it's unreal, the level of work that has been, that we're dealing with now in the Department of Labor. It's been just like a big wave or a tsunami that just hit us very quickly. I mean, just the level of layoffs and unemployment that's been hitting the state, it's been a very rapid onslaught. And so we've been peddling real fast to try to catch up with what the workload is. But yeah, it's if you just look at the numbers, and I won't overwhelm you with numbers, but let's just take the month of January.
Okay.
4 weeks in January, we processed almost 24,000 first-time claims for unemployment. You do the month of January a year ago, that was about 12,000. So we've doubled the number of first-time claims for unemployment. On top of that, we have extended unemployment benefits. The federal government provided additional benefits for people who exhaust their regular unemployment. We've processed about 19,000 of those claims in January.
Now, 19,000 people, because if you're going on traditional unemployment, that can run up for to 26 weeks in Kansas.
That's correct. Yeah.
So we have
19,000. You're on top of this. Huh? I'm impressed. Yeah.
So we've got 19,000 Kansans that have already drawn 26 weeks worth of unemployment. They're still unemployed. They're still drawing a paycheck from the state of Kansas.
That's right. Well, that's
this money comes out of Washington.
There's more than that. I mean, that's 19,000 that we processed applications in January. I mean, and there were more that we started in 2008. So yeah, that's the federal extended program is up to an additional 20 weeks of unemployment benefits. So
now you can draw up to 46 weeks
if you meet the qualifications. Yeah.
Well, how many do we have drawing these extended benefits? 19,000 additional in January. So in total, Kansans that have exhausted their 26 weeks of traditional unemployment benefits through the state, are we running around 30,000-40,000 now?
I can't. You always ask me a question. I come very prepared, and you always ask me a question that I didn't prepare for. But I can't tell you the exact number right
but
now.
19,000 additional in January. Even that figure is just staggering to me.
Right. That's. I mean, the bottom line
remained the same. Somebody that was drawing 300 a week from the state of Kansas for the first 26. It stays at 300, or is it a slight?
No. It's exact. Yeah, it's the same. Whatever you qualify for, whatever your benefit level is, it's the same amount for the extended benefit as it was for your regular benefits. So, and in benefits in Kansas, the minimum is $105 a week. The maximum is $423. On average, it's in the low 300s, $320 a week.
105 to 423. 105 is the minimum amount.
Right.
That's the smallest check you write.
Right.
And then 423 is the largest.
So the maximum. And it's all depends on what your earnings were, when you were working. That,
mm-hmm.
that determines what your benefit amount's going to be.
Wow. Jim, January of last year, how many employees did we have in the Department of Labor? Where I'm going with this, let's compare last year to this year. Have you increased?
Let me go a different direction.
All right.
Yeah, we have. We started seeing a significant increase in claims at the end of last year, in the end of 2008. In November, last week of November, we hired 10 new workers to take claims. Thought we were going to get out on top of this thing and be prepared. So we hired 10 new workers. They started taking...
10 new ones.
Yeah, they started taking claims in the middle of December, and December was just unreal. I mean, it was like we had lost employees because of this, the overwhelming amount of work. So the 10 new employees really didn't make a dent in our workload. In January we hired 20 more. So we have a total of 30 new claims takers in our call center. That has started to have some impact on our ability, because we were not providing good service. I mean, we were having long wait times. People were having a difficult time getting
When you say long wait times, somebody calling.
Right. Right.
How long of a wait normally do they have?
Well, we were, back in January, we were having an average wait time of 30 minutes was average. So that means some people were waiting longer, some people were waiting less, but on average it was 30 minutes. Since here's what we did. We hired 30 new claims takers. We extended our hours of operation. We're now operating 7 a.m. to 6:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Weekdays, and on Saturday, and we've now started operating on Saturday from 8 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've done that. We've hired 30 new people. We also have made some changes on our website to make it easier for people to file using the web and file online. So we made all these changes 2 weeks after. We've now have 2 weeks of operation with all these changes, and we have doubled the number of calls that we have been taking and able to process. And our wait times have been cut in half. We're down to about 14 minutes now on the wait time.
Okay. Are you going to hire more?
Are
you there?
We are continuing to monitor what's going on, to see what we're going to need. Unfortunately, given the news of and what's happening in the economy, I wouldn't be surprised if there was going to be need for additional hires. Yeah, need for more hires.
Okay.
You got to remember the Department of Labor is countercyclical with the economy. When the economy is good, our workload goes down.
Mm-hmm.
When the economy is bad, our workload is up, and that's what we're so.
That's what you're experiencing
what
now.
Yeah.
All of these, the call center's located and headquartered in Topeka.
That's right.
So these are all Topeka hires.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So. If somebody has an unemployment...
Actually, we have a good number of folks from Kansas City area who work in our call center, too, and there's a van that they ride over in every day to work. So we do have some from Kansas City area.
Okay.
Yeah.
If somebody's having difficulty with their claim over the phone, they can't use the Internet, which Lord knows I couldn't, do you have walk-in service available? Is there any... Everything has to be done either over the internet.
That was a decision made many years ago. Back in the 1990s, there was a move to move out of the brick and mortar unemployment office to a. The two options are the call center, calling on the telephone and processing claims that way, or using the online internet service. So
okay.
that's the two methods.
So there's no walk-in assistance.
No, there's not a brick and mortar walk-in facility for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. budgeting. You know, obviously with this looming billion-dollar deficit next year that our legislators are going to be confronted with, virtually everybody's going to have to take a hit.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be taking one. Because, again, as you say, your job is easy when the economy is good.
Right.
Your job becomes very, very challenging when the economy is bad. A year down the road, Jim Garner, the economy is still going to be
right.
bad in this country.
Right.
There's
no
good news on the horizon out there.
Oh, I think we're going to have a good, solid year. I mean, this is a very deep recession. I'm hopeful that we start seeing some signs of recovery maybe in the last quarter of this year. But still, it takes time before that means job growth again. I mean, you gotta bottom out and then start slowly. If you remember the last recession, we had that period of what they called no job growth recovery, which didn't make any sense at all, but that's what was happening. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the recession was over, but there wasn't any more jobs. So I think we're going to have a period of that as well. So it's going to be a while before things get a little better.
This nonsense that George W. Bush is trying to sell the country, and also the Democrats in as well. Everybody was guilty on this one. You know, losing 4.5 million manufacturing jobs in this country, and everybody telling us for the past 3 years, well, everything's okay. You know, we were replacing $30 an hour manufacturing jobs with $7 an hour McDonald's jobs. And we kept hearing this nonsense out of Washington that everything's fine, everything's stable, and the Dow's going to continue to grow. It can't grow when you've got unemployment to the tune that we did in the manufacturing sector. It's just...
And you add on that all of what was going on in the financial market, and everything was good there, too. It looked great on paper, but
once
the paper collapsed, it went nuts. So, but you were talking about the budget, yeah. The thing you need to remember is that the unemployment operation is federally funded, so we don't have to rely on the state general fund to be funding our agency as far as the unemployment operation. That is a federal allocation. I'm keeping my fingers crossed and hoping that we get more funding to handle this because we're ramping up our operation. There has been money appropriated for the states. We're just waiting to see what our share is going to be for the UI operation. So I'm pretty optimistic we're going to get some additional funding to deal with the workload that we're having to deal with. So it's not going to be a state general fund dilemma that we're going to have to deal with.
Mike O'Neill and Kathleen Sebelius are on TV saying everybody's going to take a 10% hit. You're getting a call from both of them saying, hey, we were just joking. Don't worry about it. You're fine.
I'm looking to the federal government for my funding on this. Yeah.
Jim Garner's my guest. He is the Secretary of Labor for the great state of Kansas. And relatively speaking, Jim, I think possibly you and I would agree, Kansas were not in as bad of shape as a lot of states out there. But challenges, oh boy, do we have them.
We have very real challenges.
Yes, we do. Hey, let's talk about that when we return. If you have a question or a comment for Jim Garner, you can always call us at 295-1193, or you can always email us at jim.cates@cjonline.com. And by midweek next week, hopefully if you're here, you can actually step up to the mic, and it's going to give you a chance to visit with any of our guests on or off the air. And that's another advantage of being out here, folks. I know so many of you, you know, you hear these voices on the air, and you've never met the people, and I've heard so many of you that have said, gee, I'd like to meet Jim Garner. Gee, I'd like to meet Chris Steiniger. Gee, I'd like to meet Jeff Reisner. You know, this is your opportunity to do so, because as these people are guests out here at the Roundabout Cafe, you certainly have that opportunity to visit with them on or off the air about any questions or concerns you have. Hey, before we take a break, Cooper Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, 267-4100, for all of your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs, and they do work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so they can take care of any unforeseen emergency over the weekend. Cooper Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Coopers Incorporated, 267-4100. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Cumulus Topeka, your effective communication and marketing resource. Please stand by. Your radio commercial will start in 3, 2, what?
Topeka businesses with common interests are joining together through the Topeka Independent Business Association. TIBA members are locally owned. We live here and have a significant investment in the local economy. We want Topeka to grow and prosper, and we want our voice heard on taxes, affordable health insurance, and local issues. If you're a small to medium-sized business that shares similar interests, join us. Learn more at topekaiba.org.
Together, we can make a difference.
This radio ad was produced by Cumulus Topeka. This copy and the contents recorded hereon are the exclusive property of Cumulus Media, Inc. and may not be used, broadcasted, or reproduced in any way without the express permission of Cumulus Media, Inc.
My first week home was great. We had a party.
2 o'clock in the morning, they were waiting for me.
My niece was waiting for me at the airport with a sign.
There was a huge sign across my front house, and it said, "Welcome home, Megan."
They lifted me up on their shoulders.
First week back, people just said thank you.
Now, what about the second week? A new generation of veterans is coming home. Make a difference for them at WelcomeBackVeterans.org.
Brought to you by WelcomeBackVeterans.org, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, and the Ad Council.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the veterans' hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give, give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
To you, three of the fiercest subjects ever assembled in the Cage of Doom. Algebra 2, Foreign Languages, and Biology. Who among you will step up to their challenge?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Me too. Sign me up.
Take on the tough classes now. You need them to prepare for college. Find out which classes you need at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
We're back with Jim Cates at CJOnline.com, your source for live internet news, opinion, interviews, and conversation in Topeka. Here's Jim.
And we're back with Jim Cates at CJ Online at the Roundabout Cafe.
Hey, don't forget, folks, there is a new sponsor on the Jim Cates Show, and it is a new merchant downtown Topeka. In fact, the store is called The Merchant, huh? Not bad. 728 Kansas, that's the address. And they have new clothing at greatly discounted prices in the Merchant store. And Lisa Boyd is the owner proprietor, and she's one of the individuals that jumped out of a plane a few years ago when we did that as a radio stunt, something I never do again. But Lisa Boyd was one of those individuals. What Lisa also wants to have in her store in downtown Topeka, she wants to have Kansas-produced goods and products, whether it's food, whether it's clothes, the whole nine yards. She wants to promote Kansas, Jim Gardner. Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea at all.
No. So if you've got something that you're producing that's Kansas-made, you might give Lisa Boyd a call, and this is at the Merchant Store, or better yet, drop by and see her. It's 357-1444, and the store is called The Merchant. Okay.
You actually jumped out on an airplane?
Yes, and I did that with a legislator. She will be unnamed on the show.
Wow.
Maybe she's embarrassed by the fact that she jumped out. Not good when you're running for re-election. And I want to demonstrate my intelligence by saying that I jumped out of a plane. But that was a radio stunt about 6 years ago. I got talked into it on the air. And to make a long story short, we actually had six of our listeners that jumped with us. This was at Osage City Airport. And we had about 250 listeners that actually came down to watch us. And it turned into be kind of a tailgating party. Everybody was bringing their beer coolers and their Weber grills, and it turned
into
one great party. So in that respect, it was a lot of fun. I'd go back down there to watch somebody else jump out of a plane.
Gotcha.
It just didn't get to be me.
You've done your time, and that's
that. Stupidity. But I was drinking heavy then.
That makes it easier to do stupid things.
Yes, it does. Jim Gardner is my guest, Secretary of Labor. And again, I served in the legislature with Jim. I've always had a great deal of respect for Jim. And it was one of, even though Governor Sebelius and I certainly have our disagreements, she's made some excellent cabinet appointments, and this is one of them. Jim, your job as Secretary of Labor. Unemployment, we know, is bad in Kansas. But let's take a look. Let's break Kansas down, if we could. Is there a pocket of the state that's really in horrible shape? Is there a pocket of the state that's in relatively good shape? Or is it pretty much balanced east to west, north to south?
The unfortunate situation is this recession as I said earlier, it's a very deep one, and it's cutting across all industry sectors. So it's all parts of the state are feeling it. It's interesting. I mean, I've had a legislator that I've been working with pretty closely, who's from up in the north central part of Kansas, very rural part of the state, and this individual was talking to me about how couldn't believe how many calls they were getting about people needing unemployment benefits and things like that, because it was a, you know, you just didn't think of that part of the state having mass layoffs.
Yeah, you get into
like
Beloit and Concordia and Phillipsburg. I don't think about those areas being,
but they're
really
being, they are being impacted in like my home area, south of Kansas, Coffeyville. They're seeing layoffs. I mean, traditional solid, you know, industries that you get a job there, you know, you're going to be there for, you're going to have a solid job for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
They're feeling some, you know, some impacts of this, because it's all, they're supplying parts to somebody, or they're connected with some other organization that's taking a hit. So it's all over. But, you know, the real heavy hit part right now is the manufacturing sector.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's Wichita. Wichita is a very, you know, with the aviation industries, all the suppliers for the aviation industries. So, you know, they're feeling
that's
the
worst. What's their numbers running now as far as percentages? Unemployment in Kansas, by the way, is what?
Unemployment in Kansas, the most recent number we have was for December, and that was 4.9%, which is still significantly below the federal. Federal is right at 7% right now. But I would not be surprised at all, and I'm expecting that when the January numbers come out, which we'll release those on March 11th, is when that's
okay.
I would not be at all surprised if we're going to see a pretty significant increase, just because of the increase that we're seeing in initial claims for unemployment. So, December numbers were 4.9%, but that was almost a full point increase over that time a year ago. So,
Wichita is well above the 4.9.
Right, and I don't have that at my fingertips, but yeah, they were seeing a significant increase in their unemployment rate as well. But it's not just Wichita. I mean, you got to think the areas that you would think would be not seeing that because they're not a manufacturing area, like the Johnson County areas. They're seeing impacts because Johnson County, you had Sprint, had a big layoff announced in their operations a little over a month ago. So I guess the point is it's all across the state. I mean, there's not one area, but some of the areas that have big manufacturing sectors are actually, they're seeing.
Relatively speaking, aren't we in better shape here in Topeka than most of our urban centers? And I say that because we have government, you know, it's pretty much the hallmark of.
Yeah.
Employment, and then we are a regional medical center. We're not experiencing layoffs in the medical community, I don't believe.
That's a good one. I mean, yeah, there was a recent report out just a couple of weeks ago about how who's been impacted the most by this recession,
mm-hmm.
and overwhelmingly men. It's been a very male-impacted recession, and it didn't surprise me when I saw it, because you look at what industries are not, the ones that are weathering pretty well are the healthcare and education so far have weathered this recession and have not seen the losses of jobs. And you think about who's providing most of the employment in the demographic.
More of a gender balance.
The demographics of that. And that may be changing too, because now you're seeing, governments, not only just Kansas, Kansas state legislature is making some significant cuts in funding for education, for healthcare, things like that. It's not just Kansas; it's every state's doing that. So I think you're going to start seeing those industries that we thought were, kind of riding out this recession are probably going to start being impacted as state governments start making cuts to programs that supply funding for healthcare and for education.
But even if you get into your far reaches of Kansas, getting into the Sheridan counties and the Thomas counties and what have you, you're still seeing this. These counties approaching this 4.9%.
Well, no, they have not gotten the full brunt of it, but they are seeing increases in their unemployment rate. Mm. So yeah,
because we keep hearing, well, the ag sector, that's going to keep everybody west of 81 somewhat safe, relatively speaking. seen, but not necessarily.
Well, they're going to have an impact, but it may not be as severe, but they will be seeing the impact of the, what's going on in the economy. Yeah.
Jim Garner, you know, earlier you mentioned that, you know, when this tsunami hit your office, that we were looking at up to 30 minutes. If you were filing unemployment benefits, you could anticipate, on average, a 30-minute wait
right.
to talk to a live person. You've got that down to 14 minutes.
Right.
Taking a look at where you were a year ago, 14 minutes?
We 5 minutes would be, I mean, that's
really?
Yeah, that would be a
wait.
That would be a wait. Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But you've cut it in half from where it was.
Yeah.
60 days ago from 30 down to 14.
Right. And I mean, we've had people that, and I feel for them because, I mean, they're in a very desperate situation. You know, they've lost their job. They have a family to take care of. And then they can't, I mean, the other problem was early on in this thing, you couldn't even get through to even get starting to wait. I mean, because of the volume of, I mean, we just didn't have the staff to take all those calls. That you couldn't even get through to get on.
You were getting a business signal.
Right. Or it was just saying all lines are full, call back later, and, you know, it was a very frustrating. And then so when they finally could get through, we had people who were rightfully very upset, very frustrated, and we made progress. We're still not providing the level of service that I think is acceptable, but.
Well, more hirings could come then.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the number to call if we've got a listener that, we'll get that.
I'll get that right after, that
good.
Next break. Yeah.
That sounds
it's
good.
In my file of papers here. Yep.
Okay. Very good. Now, if somebody calls, because I'm sure we're having people that are filing claims for the first time in their lives, they're confused, they're scared, whatever reason, if they're having difficulty with the person they're talking to on the phone, can they request a supervisor? Where do you go if you're looking for that step number two?
Absolutely. If you, we want to make sure people are getting the good service that they can, and if that's they're having a problem with that, then yes. Call the main office for the agency, which is 296-5000. That's if you're having, you know. Not getting the service that you expect. So,
okay,
yeah.
If you're running into a special situation,
right.
to where,
right.
because you're talking about newbies that are answering the phone,
we have
the traditional questions they're asked 14 times an hour. But if it's something new, they might not be familiar
exactly.
with.
Exactly, and that's when you ask for, let me talk to the supervisor, or or try that 5000.
They just be respectful when you do it, folks, and they should be.
I think one thing I did want to share, I mean, maybe we can talk about this after break or whatever, but,
roll now.
Is the importance of unemployment insurance. I mean, I think people don't realize how vital that is, not just for the individual who's in that situation, but for the economy overall. I mean, right now we are paying out in regular unemployment benefits, not the extended benefits, that's a separate program, but just in the regular unemployment benefits, we're paying out over $13 million every week into the Kansas economy. And you just think about it, that's $13 million being used to pay a mortgage, keep utilities on, buy groceries. That money is circulating in the economy. So I think that's the real critical point about unemployment insurance that people often overlook is it's not just, and it is, it's critical in helping the family that has lost their job, but it's also very important to the rest of the economy as well because it keeps that money circulating and working there.
Jim Garner, we're rapidly running out of time, but this does lend itself to another question. I have trouble remembering yesterday, let alone what I did in the legislature 15 years ago. So help me work my way through this if we could. The $13 million, where does this money come from?
Yep.
All of this
yep.
is federal money?
No. The regular
how does it break down?
Regular unemployment benefits are funded. There is a tax that employers pay every quarter.
Right.
And employers file a report with the Department of Labor saying, here's how many employees I have, here's the salaries I've paid.
That gives us the basis of how much this
On the first $8,000 of salaries that are paid by employers, there's
right.
a tax on that that goes into the unemployment trust fund.
Mm-hmm.
There's a trust fund that's kept, for the state of Kansas, and that's where all those benefits are paid out of that trust fund. So there's a tax The
only federal money, that's going to be the extension of benefits after 26 weeks.
The federal funds, there are two things. One is just to fund the operation, the administrative cost of operating the unemployment system, fund my agency. And then the second one is for funding all the extended unemployment benefits.
We could spend the next hour on this. Jim, I appreciate you coming in.
You bet.
And I hope we can do this maybe every 60 days because, obviously...
It's going to be news for a while.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Appreciate you coming in.
All right.
Jim Gardner, Secretary of Labor, folks. He's a good one. And every time we put out the call, he certainly has been accessible. We appreciate it. Roundabout Cafe, folks. This is going to be our permanent home. Today's breakfast special. It is biscuits and gravy and coffee, less than $3, 21st and Yours. Folks, we do hope that you'll come by. And starting possibly early next week, that's when you're actually going to be able to come to the Roundabout Cafe and participate. We're going to have this puppy wired for sound, and it's coming. A lot of changes coming, folks, and all the changes I think are going to be good. Hey, Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center is coming in at 10 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about gardening issues as we do each and every Friday. So... In fact, I've got something.
What is that?
I have not a clue. I've got a bunch of them in my yard. I don't know what it is. It's ugly. You know that.
It's like a big cocklebur or something.
Well, it does, and it came off of a tree. But I have no idea. It came off of my neighbor's tree, and I've got 1,000 of these in my yard. So I just want to know whether I should kill the tree or the neighbor. I'll find out when Dave Jackson comes on. Stay tuned, folks. Trish Johnston and the news straight ahead. We'll be back.
Good morning. Today is Friday, February 27th. Here's just some of the news you can read more about in the Topeka Capital Journal and on CJ Online. Trillion is the new billion. No longer is it a billion here and a billion there. That adds up to some real money. Swap the T for a B. If you want to measure what is at stake under President Barack Obama's first spending plan, Obama charted a dramatic new course for the nation Thursday with a bold and contentious budgeting proposal, higher taxes for the wealthy and the first step towards guaranteed health care for all, accompanied by an astonishing $1.75 trillion federal deficit that would be nearly four times the highest in history. Former Kansas Governor Bill Graves said Tuesday evening that the nation should embrace a 65 mile per hour speed limit, mandatory seatbelt laws, and traffic enforcement cameras to improve public safety. Graves, president and chief executive officer of the American Trucking Association, said during a speech at the University of Kansas. Overall property values in Shawnee County stayed pretty much the same as last year, although they were up slightly for homes and down for businesses. The numbers were released Thursday by Shawnee County appraiser Mark Hickson, who described the minuscule 0.6% increase in property values as basically flat, a good place to be considering the economic state of the country. The fact that we didn't drop is a good thing. What would be better is if we continue to appreciate, but not dropping isn't bad either. Today we will be partly cloudy and partly to mostly cloudy, north winds 5 to 15 miles per hour and a high of 39. Stay tuned. Jim Cates at CJ Online will return.
Topeka Collegiate, Topeka's only independent school, treats every child as gifted. Each student is encouraged to excel in a caring, small-class learning environment guided by humanitarian principles. At Topeka Collegiate, children fall in love with learning. Enrollment is limited. Call 228-0490 or visit our website at topekacollegiate.org. Topeka Collegiate School, educating children for life.
Are you getting the best price possible for your Capital Journal subscription? 40% of Capital Journal subscribers are by simply signing up for EasyPay. EasyPay, the Capital Journal automatic payment plan, is safe, convenient, and an easy way to pay for your subscription. Paying through EasyPay earns you the best rate available on your Capital Journal subscription. For a limited time, the Capital Journal will reward you with a $10 gift card to Dillon's or Hy-Vee when you switch to EasyPay. Pick up the phone now and call 295-1133. Mention the $10 gift card and get your subscription converted to EasyPay, the easy way for you to pay for your Capital Journal subscription.
Look for the bear. eating well and playing go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy. It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat air?
Be active.
I'll move.
And don't forget to have fun. That's the way to be the best at anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ag Council.
It's time for Jim Cates at CJ Online. News, opinion, interviews, and community conversation, live and online. Join Jim and his guests by calling 295-1150 or emailing jim.cates@cjonline.com. And now, from the Topeka Capital Journal and CJOnline.com, here's the Dean of Talk Radio in Topeka, Jim Cates.
Are we back?
And we're back with Jim Cates at the CJ Online at the Roundabout Cafe.
And we are at the Roundabout Cafe, our new permanent home, and we've got three friends of mine that we're going to be introducing you in just a minute that's going to join us for our media roundtable. But just walking through the door, Nancy Boyda.
Good morning, Jim. I didn't even get a cup of coffee yet.
Good morning, Nancy. You found somebody to buy your coffee, huh?
Your
husband,
wonderful.
Steve?
Yes, he is.
How are you doing, by the way?
I am fine. We are fine.
Good. What are you doing?
I've got my sewing machine out.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm actually sewing, too. I guess I should mention that.
It's well, good.
And follow label directions. I've got my, and I'm sewing.
Well, I've got two sweaters on an ironing board downstairs. They've been there for 8 or 9 months.
Yeah.
Both of them have a slight rip. I can't get my Nancy off of dead center, so can I bring him over to the house?
See, the thing is, she needs to have, you know, the fun job of having a little bit of time.
So I'm asking, are you taking in sewing?
I'm not taking in ironing.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
But I won't make the statement I don't do windows. So, no. We are having a great time. It's just the first time we've really been able to relax for a billion years, and we're taking advantage of it. I think at some point something may be coming along, so I am really trying to take every moment and just go, woohoo! Jim Cates wants me there at 9 o'clock, actually. I know, I didn't. I was the one who said I put this on my calendar for 9 o'clock. But I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, this is a little early in the morning, isn't it?
Well, we appreciate you coming out. And I know we're going to stay in contact. And I really appreciate your 2 years of service.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I miss being there, you can imagine. But, you know, that's not what happened. So We're taking advantage of being back home in Kansas.
Well, there were issues you and I agreed on, issues that we didn't agree on, but I'll tell you, as far as a work ethic, Nancy Boyda, I don't think we'll ever have a member of Congress work any harder than you did.
I appreciate that. Yep, we did.
And I've heard that from so many people. Your constituent service was absolutely par excellence.
Steve, you want to say hi?
Hello, this is Steve.
Hey, Steve, how are you doing? Huh?
Well, listen, looks like you guys have a round table going on. Just before disclosure for our listeners, this is not a round table. I just want you to make sure that we've got some truth here. This is actually, just so everybody's listening, it's an oval table. But, you know, anyway.
Well, Steve, while you were up getting coffee, I really thought this was going to be an infomercial turning into an infomercial for Nancy taking in sewing and ironing. But, we clarified that only sewing, no ironing.
Do
not bring your ironing over to Nancy Boyda.
I'm a major homebody. I love to be home. I love to, you know, I love to do that. So it's nice being able to. So.
Do you miss, anybody could miss being in Washington, you know, looming budget deficit crisis, economic tailspin.
When Obama made his speech the other night, you sit there and go, ooh, you know, I'm not there.
Yeah.
Ooh, it just feels funny. So, you know, there's parts of it that you certainly miss.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a really rough job right now being there. So, glad to be home in Kansas.
Again, my heartfelt comments about your legislative, your service.
Well, thank you. We
Nancy, really, you did
you.
A wonderful job
I
in that
appreciate
respect.
That.
Absolutely wonderful. I know I was in the gallery 2 years ago for the governor's State of the State message, and just sitting up there in the gallery, you know, looking down on the House floor, there was just that brief moment.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I'd love to be back down there and just part of it. And 15 minutes into the governor's speech where I was about to nod off and fall asleep again. I said, my God, thankfully, I don't have to listen to this for the next 90 days. Some of the boring speeches that you had to sit through for a 10 or 12 hour period each and every day. But, well, we'll be visiting,
let
I know.
You guys go. Okay. Thanks for saying hi.
Steve, thanks a million for stopping by. So, and again, hopefully Monday we're going to be wired for sound, folks. So you never know who's going to stop by the Roundabout Cafe. And Nancy and Steve really have become two of my favorite people. We've developed a friendship with the Boydas as a result of getting to meet them and know them. And as a conservative Republican, of course, we had disagreed on.
Hey, what's that number she's taking? So I call for her doing ironing or sewing. I need to get that.
Well, Lord knows, I need to find somebody.
Is that what you do when you lose an election?
Just take in sewing. I don't know.
Wasn't it Truman that just took the train back home to Independence?
I think he did. Yeah.
And now the George Bush is making speeches across the
$150,000 at a hit.
Yeah,
I need to formally introduce our guest. We'll just have you introduce yourself. You are.
Roy Baum.
And who is it you work for?
I work for WIBW Radio as chief engineer, a sister company to the Capital Journal.
Yes, you're a Morris Communications employee.
Yes, yes.
And we're going to mic Lee up. We've got two sets of headphones and three of us here, so we're going to be flipping back and forth. Lee Reisinger, somebody that I've worked with for a number of years.
Uh-huh. Formerly of Cumulus Radio. Now unemployed, looking for... You're a free agent. You're not unemployed.
I'm what Rush Limbaugh calls a lolly.
Yeah. What is a lolly?
What was the lolly? I've forgotten what that meant. Laid off and loving it.
Laid off and loving it. I like that.
A lolly.
And a former Cumulus employee. By the way, there's a lot of you running around now.
More today than yesterday. Absolutely.
And more coming today. Yes, yes, indeed. And good morning, Bob Snyder.
Uh-huh.
Well, good morning, Jim. It's great to have you here on Friday morning.
Well, we're going to be here every morning.
Well,
it's going to be fun.
That's great. And well, this is Friday mornings is the group of us, and there's some more coming in, but we're known as the Poets.
What? The Poets.
The Poets Club, right. And the Poets Club is buoy on everything tomorrow's Saturday.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is a word that Glenn Beck uses frequently, so I guess it's a word.
Yeah.
If you're a Glenn Beck fan, and I think he's on radio somewhere, I'm not sure. But I know he's on
TV in the afternoon. 8 to 11 on weekday mornings.
Well, you know, his radio show is pretty good, but I love his TV show.
Mm. Your TV show.
And it's just hitting the ratings, you know, especially at that time period.
The thing I like about Glenn Beck, you know, Sean Hannity, you know, he mouths conservative views and values, I suppose. But and Limbaugh is not a conservative. He is a Republican through and through. It's, you know, Limbaugh, it's like he was broadcasting from the basement of the White House when Bush was in. But Glenn Beck, if there is a true conservative out there, I think it's Glenn Beck.
Well,
I don't view him as a Republican. He certainly is not an apologist for the Republican Party. He is truly, out of everybody out there, Michael Savage and Glenn Beck would be the two that are truly dedicated conservatives.
Well, Savage is too savage for me.
Yeah.
You know.
He is. People that know him, and I've talked to a couple of people in the broadcasting industry that know him, off air, there's no difference.
That's
this
right.
Is not a person you would want to have living next door to you. Or
taking to lunch in a quiet setting.
Or certainly getting breakfast at the Roundabout Cafe with.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But Glenn Beck, he just, I think what comes out of his mouth truly comes from his heart.
And without a doubt.
Not an apologist for anybody.
Well,
he's really
kind of,
enjoy him.
He's kind of scary, but we're living in scary times.
Yeah, it's not a message of sunshine and roses.
That's right.
By any stretch of the imagination.
As our pastor would say from the pulpit, we're not preaching sunshine today.
And we're certainly not preaching it today, you know, with Obama's package of, my, how can we afford this? How can we possibly afford this?
I just happened to look yesterday on the Drudge, and they had the chart of our deficits.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a few years above, but my goodness gracious, what we're seeing now is like dropping off the cliff. I don't know how we're going to afford it. But I would suggest that maybe that Roy or Lee would probably give their savings for that kind of a thing and help it out without any problem.
Yeah, sure.
You'd write a check for it, right?
How do we solve this? You know, this is going to be a tough one.
I think America is, you know, I'm 66, and we went through the 80s, and we thought things were really bad in the 80s when we were paying so much for interest, 12 and 13%.
Yeah.
It wasn't unheard of to pay 11% on a house for 30 years. But, you know, I don't know where we're going to go this time. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I
don't either. You know, my big fear with all of this, it's going to be right around the corner, we have to be taking a look at the very least a very high inflation rate, if not runaway inflation. And for those of us, you know, you're 66, you know, I'm on the dark side of 40.
You're so dark side of 40 that it's kind of like in the abyss. Okay, let's go on.
But for those of us that are baby boomers that can see retirement in the headlights, you know, inflation has to be a real concern to us, because once you retire, then you're on a fixed income.
Yeah.
And that is the grouping out there that really gets hurt. You know, with inflation, it's going to be your retirees, your senior citizens that are on a fixed income.
Yeah, Roy's kind of young, but see, I could take the outlook that Obama's going to take care of it. He's going to pay my rent or my mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to pay all those things for me, so that'd be good.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about the hot stories of the day normally at 9 o'clock on each and every Friday. We have a media roundtable where we have members of the media, and that's when we tackle the top stories of the day, the top stories of the week.
Solve the
week. We have Roy Baum, we have Lee Reisinger, we have Bob Snyder, and just joining us, Tom Tingus. Tom, good to see you. It's been a long time. We'll strap Tom up.
Step in front of the microphone, Tom.
Tom, what is it you do?
Oh, I do a little engineering, or pretend to, over at
you
place
can say
you
it.
Place you used to work.
Which one? I've been fired from two.
Oh. Well, I've been fired a lot more than that.
Now, just to disclaim Tom's affiliation with Cumulus, he also does contract work for a Morris Communications property in Salina.
So
he works at both sides of that.
And they're going through their changes out there. You know, talk radio host, you know, normally we don't last long because we're on the air for 10 to 15 hours a week. At some point in time, we are going to say something that's going to offend our boss. And it's happened to me twice. Third time's the charm, you know. I lose this job, there's nowhere else to go. I'm through. I'm done. This one's it. But we just lost, unfortunately, and I want to get your all's thoughts on this, and I don't want to spent an hour bashing Cumulus because, frankly, over the past year, I have defended Cumulus, the corporation, because what they do, they own 400 stations nationwide. They hire managers to come in and manage their local properties. And I know that when I had a disagreement with the manager of our current Cumulus properties, many of my listeners went to Atlanta, or called Atlanta, wrote Atlanta, and said, why don't you hire Jim Cates back? And they say, hey, we do not get involved in local personnel issues. And I could not agree with Cumulus more. You know, they hire a person. If you hire the right person, you shouldn't have employment challenges locally. But if you hire the right person, everything is going to run smoothly. You hire the wrong person, it's going to go to hell in a handbasket. And that's what we're seeing here, frankly, with Cumulus in Topeka. But it's not Cumulus, the corporation's fault. It's it all has to do with local management. Either you've got competent or incompetent management. But unfortunately, today is going to be yet another talk show host bites the dust in Topeka, Kansas. And that's unfortunate. I know some of you listening agreed and liked Steve Foreman. Some of you listening didn't agree with him and didn't like him. But the point is, it was a local voice. At least you had an opportunity. you know, to air and vent and comment and go on the air and talk about issues that were important to you was somebody that was local. That voice has been silenced as of 8 o'clock this morning. And I do want to wish Steve Foreman well. And it's such a shame. In fact, after 8 o'clock, Deb Goodrich was on. She followed me on the air at 1440. She's gone as well. And it's bad when we silence. Anybody want to comment on that?
Well, from what I've understood, this has been a thing Cumulus has done pretty well over the entire country, I guess for economic reasons. Maybe, you know, a quick way to try to pull things out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's so much that they don't like talk radio. It's just kind of an emergency measure.
Yeah, and I think that's fair to some extent. But, you know, anytime you've got a show, whether you're playing polka music, it makes no difference. If that show, if you're producing a show, and if the cost of production of that show is $40,000, and if you're producing $50,000 in income, to me, it just makes economic sense. You continue playing polka music.
Yeah. Well,
as long as that show, whatever it may be, whether it's talk
if it's ringing cash registers,
bingo,
it's doing its job.
Bingo.
And that's the thing. And I'm saying this as an owner operator years ago.
Because you have been an owner operator of a radio station.
And I know a lot of owner operators right now that are maybe old four or five stations, not the big intercoms and the Cumuluses and whatnot, Clear Channel.
Back when it was family owned.
Yeah, back when it was family owned. Well, I know a number of those operators that are going through it that are having tightener belts, but they're surviving and doing, you know, fairly well. It's not one of those good years, but it is. But so often, I think in the corporate world, it becomes the bean counters who are the ones that are actually making the decisions rather than the local people. And I know that with my last few years as chief engineer for out of Kansas City and with Sinclair Broadcasting. And I saw it come a number of years ago as we're going to cut it. We're always working every quarter for the stock market.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got to get that, what we say we're going to do. And so decisions aren't made. And it still basically goes down, if you got good program, then you will survive. And to think that you're going to take the program, I take a look and I listen to Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
I don't hear a lot of commercials on our local Rush Limbaugh if I'm listening to it on the local station. You know, a lot of times I'll listen to it online because I enjoy the things that come down there during the commercial breaks. The little parodies that it is, but I don't hear a lot of commercials. And so that tells you that Rush is popular across the country and even within the city, though I haven't seen what the Arbitron or Nielsen says on him. But I'm sure that he is very popular here as he is other places. You should be able to sell that. So, you know, in any broadcasting entity, it's sales that makes the movement, but sales doesn't come about unless you've got good programming. Good programming doesn't come about unless you got an engineering. So a radio station or a broadcast property is a circle of service. There's not a hierarchy.
That's right.
Everybody from sales, programming, traffic, and all, they make a circle.
You bet.
Right.
And I think we're going to see that circle broken. I predict we are going back to local ownership.
Oh, I think so, too.
In fact, another former radio personality just walked in, Marshall Barber. And
oh, my goodness.
Marshall, we miss you on the air, as you well know. And, and Marshall had a great show on, well, he's had several great shows on the air, but possibly as the leading musicologist for the city of Topeka. Maybe the world. I don't know. You probably know more about music than anybody in the world.
Except for you.
I would be.
I gotta tell you, I love this Jim Cates special here at the Roundabout.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you.
It's the Citibank special. You pay for a whole biscuit and get half a biscuit. No, actually, they're giving me a whole biscuit.
Folks, we hope that you'll come out to the Roundabout.
They done repoed my biscuit.
We hope that you'll come quite some time. And Roy Baum, somebody else I haven't seen in quite some time. Lee Reisinger. I see Lee on a fairly regular basis. In fact, we worked together for a number of years. And Bob Snyder. I hear from Bob quite a bit, and it's good to have you all with us. When we come back, let's talk about our upcoming city elections. Let's get your thoughts, and we're going to get your thoughts about the library issue possibly as well. So a lot coming up. Stay tuned. You're listening to Jim Cates at CJ Online.
Topeka Collegiate, Topeka's only independent school, treats every child as gifted. Each student is encouraged to excel in a caring, small class learning environment guided by humanitarian principles. At Topeka Collegiate, children fall in love with learning. Enrollment is limited. Call 228-0490 or visit our website at topekacollegiate.org. Topeka Collegiate School, educating children for life.
Are you getting the best price possible for your Capital Journal subscription? 40% of Capital Journal subscribers are by simply signing up for EasyPay. EasyPay, the Capital Journal's automatic payment plan, is safe, convenient, and an easy way to pay for your subscription. Paying through EasyPay earns you the best rate available on your Capital Journal subscription. For a limited time, the Capital Journal will reward you with a $10 gift card to Dillon's or Hy-Vee when you switch to EasyPay. Pick up the phone now and call 295-1133. Mention the $10 gift card and get your subscription converted to EasyPay, the easy way for you to pay for your Capital Journal subscription.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give, give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
We're back with Jim Cates at CJOnline.com, your source for live internet news, opinion, interviews, and conversation in Topeka. Here's Jim.
We are back with Jim Cates at CJ Online. Now let's take it to the Roundabout Cafe with Jim Cates.
Okay, Rick, I could hear every word you were saying because I am wearing my hearing aid today, courtesy of Edgar Hearing Aid Service. Yes, indeed. 266-2000, 3641 plus, folks. If, again, you were listening to too much loud rock and roll music 30, 40 years ago and your hearing has suffered as a result, well, you can go out for your free hearing exam. We're talking about a free hearing exam at Edgar Hearing Aid Service. And, again, just a block east of Burlingame. In fact, if you're at Brickhouse Antiques, you can walk to Edgar Hearing Aid Service. And, again, 3641 Plass is the address. And for those of you that missed it, they had a full-page ad, Rick Anderson, and Wednesday's Topeka Capital Journal. Wow.
That's
very impressive ad.
Yeah, absolutely.
You betcha. You betcha. Okay, joining me, we have Tom Tinges, somebody that has worked in the radio broadcasting, I don't know. Alf Landon, you go back to the Landon days? Or Lee Reisinger and Bob Snyder. Also, Fran Scripture walked in, and Fran is the mother of former State Senator Lana Olean, and Fran was former Senator Olean is now a grandma, which makes Fran Scrimshire a great-grandma. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yes, indeed. Tell Letta I said hi. Hope that she'll stop by sometime. I haven't seen her in quite a while. Let's talk about one of the hot, hot local issues. We've been spending a lot of time on the show, Tom, Lee, and Bob, talking about this library controversy. Frankly, I'm surprised that this is a controversy, because this was an issue that was brought up by a friend of mine, Kim Borchers, who's hosted the show and has been a frequent guest on the Jim Cates Show. What Kim Borchers was attempting to do was place several books out of the reach of children, not adults. There was never a move afoot to restrict reading material as far as what adults had access to. We're talking about protecting kids. And this thing has really created a firestorm. Now we're into this becoming a politicized issue. We've got five city council races out there, a mayoral race. This situation has interjected itself into our mayoral run. Your feelings, Tom, Lee, Bob, your feelings on this whole library issue.
Well, I like the
I'm
way going you
to give one more long-winded explanation as far as setting the stage. Where all of this is kind of evolving, I think, is the possibility of taking a look at electing our library board members as opposed to having them appointed by elected officials, because we're spending $9 million of our property tax money to the tune of $13 million a year plus to fund our public library. And now we're starting to put the toe in the water getting into community standard issues. So your thoughts?
Well, first off, I like how you put that, but how do you define kids? Where's the cutoff? It's kind of like, you know, if you let this go, are we just going to put a burning barrel outside and just toss books into it arbitrarily? I mean, who decides?
No, we're not going to burn books. We're just going to restrict kids having access to books.
And that's
where there is a clear line in the sand.
But somebody kind of has to, you're going to say what age? I don't know. Yeah, kids, young kids don't need to know this. If they do, their parents ought to be the ones telling them about it. Frankly, I think it goes back to the parents.
If we're going to set an arbitrary age, you know, just looking at my experience.
15, 16, yeah.
32, I think, is when I started to mature.
Well,
and that's questionable yet.
I said started to mature, not that I'm there yet.
We're all in the process of maturing. But I believe, I'll go with him and with those library board members, because they're talking just four books, and apparently there's pictorials in these books that are rather explicit.
Four books now.
Okay, four books now. But, you know, we're in this age of moral relativism. Whatever as I see as being right or wrong is my deal and yours. And I think this basically has caused us as a group of people, a culture and whatnot, to not put those lines in the sand, and is part of the reason as where we're at today. And
right.
I think that, you know, when I was growing up, hey, I went out and I saw, what they call them back then, the 8-page Bibles, with little cartoon books and whatnot. I probably led a much deeper life than you did.
Yes.
But anyhow, those type of things were around,
mm-hmm.
Okay? But you certainly couldn't go into a store and if you were 13, 14 years old and spend much time in the men's section, okay, because they'd kick you out. Today, we've got the Internet, and, you know, even though the community standards have been set, I believe, at the library, that you can't look at porn sites, the kids can't have access to that, then, okay, what's the difference in being able to set at least some minimum community standards are the community standards not of New York and not of California, but of Topeka, Kansas. And I think that the board has that ability and should take that as being
the board as constructed now, or is
I think it should be elected myself.
For
not so much that reason, but hey, $13 million is a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
And I don't have any way. I mean, let's look at it. We had the airport board, and they put on a quarter of a cent or percent or something like that. Got all kinds of money for what? We didn't have a way to go by it. What? Same thing with the library board. library board decides that they want to do something. So I think those people need to have some accountability to the voters. And if it's not through individuals, as the voters, maybe it needs to be something else.
Yeah. And we'll get Tom Ten. Tom, we'll have you weigh in on this. Now, you currently live in St. Mary's, correct me if I'm wrong.
Near there, yeah.
Okay, near there. Okay. Let's get your opinion as far as electing library board members. Because if you take a look at the budget, you know, I think we probably have a lot of listeners listening today that aren't aware that we're funding our public library here in Topeka to the tune of $13.5 million a year. It's a lot of money. That buys a lot of books.
Sure.
You know, we've got a lot of money at play. And community standards that Bob Snyder hit on. You know, I think community standards are going to be different from community to community. You know, if you're living in Tribune, Kansas, sheep might start looking good to you. But that's a community standard out there that necessarily wouldn't be the community standard here. So I think, you know, if we start taking a look at electing our library board members, we're going to have possibly a more accurate reflection of what our community standards truly are. Or are we? Your opinion.
Well, sure, you know, talking about the books, porn is porn, whether you're 10 years old or 50 years old. You know, this stuff has no place in a library. It belongs in an adult bookstore. Of course, that's a whole different question.
Well, not really. Because, you know, we have ordinances in Topeka, Kansas now. Where kids under 18 can't go into an adult bookstore, can't be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's restricted reading material that you can't have access to in an adult bookstore, but you can go to your public library and read the same stuff they're selling at an adult bookstore where mm-hmm. you're not allowed to go in.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, there's principles involved, and if those principles aren't followed, you know, principles that come down through the generations. You know, we haven't just, you know, we can't go around just redefining everything. This stuff should be banned for sure. And I think there's a lot more than four books at stake. Obviously, there's quite a bit at stake. And
should we get to the point that we actually take a look at our public library and maybe have a children's only library to where children do not have accessibility to the adult library without written parental consent?
Well,
would that be a possible solution?
Then that goes on to Lee, though. At what age does that children's library take place at? You know, I remember when I was a kid, and I'm not much of a person on a library. As far as going into a library, but I do remember that there was a children's library when I was growing up, but it was the golden books and you know, all it was a pretty young age. So I'm not sure if you can quote unquote do it. Say okay, if you
Bob, devil's advocate, you know, we have set ages when you are allowed to drive a car legally.
Right.
We have an age established when you're allowed to buy a pack of cigarettes legally. We have an age established where when you're able to go out and drink a beer legally. So,
but
we
have
these arbitrary ages
age.
Established. Hmm?
You can have an abortion at any age.
Yes.
Without telling your parents. So, okay.
We're going to get into that issue Monday as a result of the headlines of the paper, and that gets into the whole George Tiller.
Amen.
Why we allow this guy to operate?
But what you're saying is you got the age group there. I understand, mm-hmm. but what about where do you make that demarcation between the books? Okay.
But haven't we pretty much defined you know, adulthood as 18 on everything but voting, and of course we pushed that up to 21, but 18
in drinking.
Yeah, just 21, maybe. I don't know.
21 in drinking, yeah. 18 in voting. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And 16 for 16. A driver's license. So
and maybe 14 if you live on a farm.
Yeah, yeah.
So it could be anything. That's the point, is who decides? At what point do we decide you're old enough to read this?
Yeah.
You are not. I mean, kids mature at all kinds of different ages.
So
some kids are very mature at 12 or 13.
So So then, if we establish, you know, the separate library, kids-only library, that parent can make the determination on when that child is allowed to enter the adult library.
And the parents are responsible for the kids until they're a certain age. I'd absolutely agree with that. I think that's where the determination has to be made.
Yeah, if mom and dad feels that their 12-year-old son or daughter, you know, has the maturity to go into the adult library and check out Playboy, check out whatever they want to, then the parents are making that decision,
absolutely.
Which gets into parental responsibility.
Once again, it's back on the family, and that's the way it should be.
That's a good place for it to be, isn't it?
Right.
Well, partially. But then again, all we have to do is look around at what's happening in society as a whole, the collapse of the family in general, the number of sexual predators running loose, and then how do you decide, well, pornography is okay if you're 21, but not okay if you're 10. I really don't see the difference. I guess at some point in time, you know, the maturity, hopefully, to be able to, I don't know, you know, handle adult, you know, adult reading material and adult reading material, quote unquote, pornography. So,
well, it shouldn't. I don't know why it's called adult reading material. In a way, it's very childish. You know, it portrays things that are just totally out of place, immoral. You know. Belong totally in the field of marriage and not anywhere else. So,
but Tom, would you agree as far as adult reading material / pornography? You know, that again gets into a community standard issue. I can't imagine an adult bookstore going in anywhere in Wabigo, Kansas. It's not going to happen because I think, again, that's a community to where you have very strong traditional family values. Now, you get into a metropolitan area, you're going to see, you know, these types of stores spring up. But again, I think that gets into a community standard.
Well,
again, doesn't it?
It gets into
what allows community standard.
So where's our government control, where they worry themselves to death over smoking cigarettes, which are rather innocuous compared to the pornography that can be rampant.
Jim, I got a question.
Okay, by the way, if you have a question or a comment, folks, you can always call us at 295-1193, or you can email us at jim.cates@cjonline.com.
I think this has already been answered, but Bill said, do same as required at adult bookstores. I think maybe the age or something, and I think you already answered that.
Okay, as far as the age restriction, whatever the adult bookstores, whatever the ordinance is for adult bookstores, has the same restriction at a public library. Okay, I think that's kind of the path we were headed down.
I'd like Tom's pornography. Okay, adult reading, but a lot of people don't see. You had a few weeks ago on you had Phil Baker with Celebrate Recovery. And
mm-hmm,
I'm very
sure.
familiar with that program.
Jim, I have another question.
Go ahead.
All right.
Kim says, you use the age that is required in law for the harmful to minors statute, 17 years of age and older. Parents determine if their kids can handle it by checking it out for them. So the parents check them out.
Okay, and that's the harmful to minors statute and the age 17.
17.
Who emailed that in?
Kim.
Kim. Okay, Kim. Good morning, Kim. Okay.
And you might remind people that they need to dial 295-1193 or email, because my phone's been a-beeping.
Okay, the email, jim.cates@cjonline.com. And at the Roundabout Cafe, hopefully by Monday morning when you walk in here, you're going to be able to hear the show. We're going to have it wired for sound coming out over the speakers. And, again, this is our first week out here, and we're working out the bugs as we speak. But it's going. After 4.5 days of being on the air.
Oh, that's good.
It's we've been pleasantly surprised.
And good crowds.
You have a question?
Yeah.
All right, let's put the headphones on you. You can identify yourself. Slide the headphones on. All right, good morning. Now, somebody give him a hand there, Work. Okay.
I'm Tom Mulligan, and I live at 1924 Southwest Urich Road.
Good morning, Tom.
And I want to show you what my yard looked like when they before they started it and what it looks like now. And if you think I'm kidding, you go up there. I got about a half a drive. I want them to put the other half out. The city said they can't do that.
Okay, there's Tom, what's the problem? Describe it for our listeners over the years, since they're not going to be able
to
see
it. You can't hardly get in my driveway, and it looks like I got a patio in my front yard.
Good night. Now, who's going to repair the driveway? I say you've got a tarp over the driveway.
The ones that widen the street. The city and the county had to do with it.
Uh-huh. Okay, Tom, when the city came out and said, hey, we're going to build a roundabout,
right,
at 21st and Urish, what promises did the city make to you?
Well, they said they're going to take one of my trees out and a little bit of my yard. They've already took just about up to my drive, to my sidewalk.
Okay, how much of an easement right did the city have, do you know, coming in? Have they exceeded their easement rights?
Well, they did. They put in the first driveway. It had a 19% drop, and the concrete man poured it, said it. He said he never had poured a driveway in his life like that in 30 years. You come out of there, and you just about feel like you're going to go from across the street before you get a stop. And to pull in there, if you didn't hit your brakes, you'd just about drive the car right on through the garage into the kitchen.
Yeah.
And so what I wanted, if they could put a half moon going out the other way. Well, there was two other houses out here that's got a half, 2 inches into the driveway. They said they had it before they widened the road. That's true. They did have it widened before they widened the road. But I also had a 24-foot wide driveway before they widened the road. Now I've got a 12-foot.
Okay. Tom, where have you gone with these complaints and your concerns?
I've talked to them. What I'd like to do, I have both of my knees are gone, and I've had operations on cancer. And I'm not supposed to walk any more than I have to. And I asked them if they could put one going out the other way for they go in one way, the mailman, and go right out the other way. Well, they said, no, they couldn't do that. But they did take the one driveway back out that they admitted they made a mistake on.
Okay, so they've corrected that. Okay, so that's been corrected then.
They did take the other one back out, see, and they put a slab. It looks like I got a patio in my front yard now.
Okay, so they're taking care of the grade issue.
Well, yeah, because they come in from the side, but they made a half moon coming in there to get into the driveway. There's only one way in and one way out.
Okay. But that's what you had before, correct?
I had a 24-foot wide drive before. Now I got a 12-foot drive with a half moon. But I want to know if they can come in one way and go back the other way.
Okay.
And they said, well, no, we can't do that.
So you talked to the city engineer about that?
Yeah, and even the city engineer admitted he made a mistake.
Okay. Have you got that in writing?
No, I haven't got it in writing.
Okay. Tom, I would think your next step would be to appeal to... I think I would possibly talk to legal counsel, but I would think your next step would be to go to the city council and ask for whatever it is in terms of increased cost. Because if you've lost half of your driveway, if it's gone from 24 foot to 12 foot, there would have to be an adjustment made, I would think, by the city of Topeka to compensate you for that.
Well,
so I would talk to your council member. I believe it's Jeff Preisner, if you're across the street.
You missed Jeff yesterday, didn't you?
Yes.
I'm just the first brick house right up the street here.
Right. I know which house it is.
Yeah.
I would talk to your city council member. I would talk to the mayor. I would certainly talk to city manager Norton Bonaparte. And if you don't get satisfaction from any one or two of those three, then I would take a look at legal counsel, I think. Because, again, if they've cut your driveway back from 24 foot to 12 foot, I think you legitimately would have a complaint. Hey, we need... Wow, are we late for a break? And there's so much.
Before we take
about
a break, Kim had a correction on her email.
Okay.
She meant to say the harmful to minors statute is 17 years of age and younger.
17 years of age or younger for the harmful
older
to minors statute. Mm-hmm. We'll get back to that, and we want to talk about the sales tax issue. There's a lot to talk about, and we're just about out of time. Good night, guys. This hour flown. Okay, stay tuned. More to come. I'm Jim Keats.
Careful at the party, hon. No alcohol, right?
I know, Mom.
Seriously, you're still growing, and it messes with your judgment.
Yeah, I know.
Trust me, you could do some things you don't really want to do. If you're a grown woman, it's different, but you're not.
I know, okay? I know.
Teenagers know everything, so talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens, start talking before they start drinking, and keep talking. Learn more at stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Placing 18th in the last Summer Olympics didn't earn many headlines for the Netherlands, and we rarely talk about who is 18th in line to succeed the president. When it comes to the health and well-being of Kansas children, 18th place isn't worth writing home about. The 2008 Kids Count Report, a nationwide study of the well-being of children, ranks Kansas at 18th. Though we continue to take steps that will improve the lives of Kansas children, we can do more. Find out what it takes to become the best state in the nation to raise a child. Visit Kansas Action for Children, KAC.org.
You got money to save, you better roll with a plan, because with an IRA you'll get the tax relief. You better roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Make your money move and roll it over to Roger Shoemaker. You've been racking your brains trying to find an aid to lend a helping hand for your retirement plans. You better roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Let Roger take over.
Let Roger take over.
So make your money move and roll it over to Roger Shoemaker.
Many people are looking at retiring or in transition between jobs. If this sounds like you, roll it on over and call me, Roger Shoemaker, to receive your complimentary, independent rollover portfolio strategy analysis at 785-228-0222. That's 228-0222. Securities offered through Next Financial Group, member FINRA SIPC.
Make your money move and roll it over to Roger Shoemaker.
Topeka Collegiate, Topeka's only independent school, treats every child as gifted. Each student is encouraged to excel in a caring, small-class learning environment guided by humanitarian principles. At Topeka Collegiate, children fall in love with learning. Enrollment is limited. Call 228-0490 or visit our website at topekacollegiate.org. Topeka Collegiate School, educating children for life.
Hey, Jack, you got a sec? Jack, your hair's on fire.
Yeah, I know. I just need to finish the sales report and then I'll lie down for a bit.
But shouldn't I...
No, I'll be fine.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly has trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Romeo.
We're back with Jim Cates at CJOnline.com, your source for live internet news, opinion, interviews, and conversation in Topeka. Here's Jim.
Okay, we're back with Tom Pages, Lee Reisinger, and Bob Snyder, Roundabout Cafe. Again, this is going to be our permanent home from here on out. Coming out at 10 o'clock this morning, we have Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. Each and every Friday, we spend an hour on gardening issues, and that's coming up. We've got a primary election next Tuesday, general election, April the 7th. Your thoughts on the upcoming sales tax proposal?
Well, I think I read...
This is Lee Reisinger.
There was one proposal that the public should vote on whether to have this sales tax increase. We talked about the one for the roads and the infrastructure. I thought I read that was going to be a public vote, and now it's not going to be. Is that...
No, it's on the ballot.
No, it's
okay.
On the ballot.
It's on the ballot.
Okay. Personally, if it's going to go strictly for the infrastructure, and it's not going to be used later on for anything else, I don't mind paying it. We all use those roads, and we all know that in general the roads in Topeka are awful. They are some of the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Why they put concrete streets in this town in the first place, I guess I don't know. It must have been cheap. But
I would say that as long as it's going to be used for the infrastructure, the thing that bothers me is when inflation goes up, which
right.
I feel it will, then that half a cent is even going
it
to be
more.
Tougher for people. So that's my premise. But as long as it's used strictly for the repair of the streets, then I'll probably vote for it. But I'll be looking at, I'm still to this date undecided. My undecided portion is what is inflation going to do in the economy, because that half percent then goes up. And it still gives the city the same, because they got to pay the same amount. As inflation goes up, to repair the streets goes up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be tougher on people.
Well, I don't think this issue is going to be politicized in our upcoming April elections, because it appears, of course, the mayor is a
right.
guest on this show
right.
once a month, and he's been promoting the half a cent sales tax increase
Absolutely.
For quite some time.
for infrastructure repair. We had Jeff Prisner on the show yesterday, and Jeff voted for the Fafestan sales tax issue to get it on the ballot. I asked Jeff Prisner yesterday on the air whether, in fact, he planned on voting for the sales tax increase April the 7th, and he does. So this is an issue that Bill Bunton and Jeff Prisner apparently
agree on.
Have agreed. And the other issue that's going to be on the ballot April the 7th deals with fine-tuning our form of government, and that deals with the ability of the city council to override a mayoral veto. Once again, this is an issue, it appears, that Bill Bunton, our current mayor, and our deputy mayor, Jeff Prisner, are on the same side on this one as well.
I think Bill pretty much brought that up. He's pointed out some of the problems with this particular form. And I think he'd be all for it. He'd be all for changing it in some fashion.
Yep. The issue might end up being this library, Shawnee County Topeka Public Library issue. This is an issue where there is going to be a difference of opinion between Bill Bunton and Jeff Prisner as far as that real visible issue out there before the public.
Well, yesterday on your show, Prisner was asked the question, what four qualities does he think that every council member should have, and he named them off. And he put himself as leadership as being his strong trait of being bringing people together. And I go back to his communication and some of those other things, which I had a tough time saying, wait, Mr. Prisner, how can you say that leadership is? Because really, in the communication on the helicopter and those things, to me, was not being leadership. That wasn't leadership. So I when it comes up to that, I think that there's going to be people that will be going back and looking at the Gang of Five and where he sat within that, even though Blackburn will be gone and some of the others of the Gang of Five.
Any predictions on voter turnout? Is this going to be the year we're going to see?
For the 3rd or the
voters,
or April or March?
Either one, March the 2nd or April the 7th. Are the voters going to be energized this go-around with the economic downturn that we're going through? Are voters going to throw up their hands?
I think people need to realize that politics starts at home. Okay? If you're mad and upset with what's going on in the federal system, you can't change that as much as you can change what's going on locally. And so I don't know about the March one. I think that when we come into April, it may be a little bit, because I think people are starting to gear up and say, hey, wait, what's going on? I'm going to have to start taking some control as a citizen, okay? So probably very low in March, but increasing in April.
Yeah, I think, the sales tax issue, even though it probably is not going to develop as an issue for our mayoral candidates, because, again, if it's going to be Bill Bunton and Jeff Prisner as the number one and number two candidates going into the general election, they're both in agreement on this. But it might end up surfacing as a major issue in some of our localized city council races, because you've got the Chamber of Commerce. They're going to be hard charging. They're contributing a lot of money to several of our city council candidates. But on the other end, you have a group called the Topeka Independent Business Association. They've got 140 members strong, and they are going to be in strong, it appears, they're going to be in strong opposition to the sales tax. So this thing still might develop as a political issue localized in our neighborhood city council races.
Well, I don't know. With the American Chamber of Commerce really being against e-verify and all these other things, I think the local chamber produces setting their money up there to become a member of the U.S. Chamber. They support it. I kind of look at, hey, if you're sending money up there, then you're supporting, they fought E-Verify here and everything else. I just don't think the chamber, we're paying them too much, and what we're getting out of it is them telling us, don't hire American, all of those other things that go on. You probably will never ask me back again.
I'll bet we do. Bob Snyder, we are out of time.
You want to be right, Bob is the guy.
Good to see you. Tom Tengis, it's great to see you again. It's been a long time. Monday morning, we have Peggy Mast coming in, State Representative Peggy Mast, Republican. We have State Senator Chris Steiniger coming in, Democrat, and we are going to have, and we're going to start this each and every Monday here at the Roundabout Cafe. It's going to be a point-counterpoint show. We're going to be taking a look at some of the leading legislative issues of the week, and we're going to have a Democrat and a Republican coming in and basically debating the issues on the air, and it's going to give you a chance to participate as well. And that is coming up Monday morning. Also, coming on the show Monday, well, that's it. We might have an hour of open lines Monday. We'll see. But Tuesday, we've got David Springy coming on. He heads up the Citizens Utility Ratepayers Board. He's going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about, utility rates. Yep, they're going up. They've gone up, and we're looking at another rate increase looming in the not-too-distant future for Northeast Kansas, unfortunately. Shelley Buehler is coming on Tuesday, one of our three Shawnee County commissioners, and there's a lot to talk about with Shelley. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about city issues, but we don't spend a lot of time talking about what's happening countywide. Well, we're going to be doing that Tuesday morning with Shelley Buehler at 9 o'clock. Folks, thanks so much for listening. Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. Straight ahead following Trish Johnston and the news. Stay tuned.
Good morning. Here's just some of the news you can read more about in the Topeka Capital Journal and on CJ Online. Trillion is the new billion. No longer is it a billion here and a billion there that adds up to real money. Swap the T for a B if you want to measure of what is at stake under President Barack Obama's first spending plan. Obama charted a dramatic new course for the nation Thursday, access for the wealthy, and the first step towards guaranteed health care for all, accompanied by an astounding $1.75 trillion federal deficit that would be nearly four times the highest in history. Former Kansas Governor Bill Graves said Thursday evening that the nation should embrace a 65-mile-per-hour speed limit, mandatory seatbelt laws, and traffic enforcement cameras to improve public safety. Graves, president and chief executive officer of the American Trucking Association, said during a speech at the University of Kansas. Overall, property values in Shawnee County stayed pretty much the same as last year, although they were up slightly for homes and down for businesses. The numbers were released Thursday by Shawnee County appraiser Mark Hickson, who described the minuscule 0.6% increase in property values as basically flat, a good place to be considering the economic state of the country. The fact that we didn't drop is a good thing. What would be better is if we continued to appreciate, but not dropping isn't bad either. Today, we will be partly to mostly cloudy, north winds 5 to 15 miles per hour and a high of 39. Stay tuned. Jim Cates at CG Online will return for another hour with Dave Jackson from Jackson's Greenhouse to answer all your lawn and garden questions.
Stay tuned. Jim Cates at CJ Online will be right back with the Jackson's Greenhouse Gardening Show. Have a question about your lawn or garden? Phone lines are open at 785-295-1150.
And we're back with Jim Cates at CJ Online at the Roundabout Cafe with Dave Jackson from Jackson's Greenhouse.
And this is the Dave Jackson Show. Good morning, Dave Jackson.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here.
Well, this is the end of our first week at the Roundabout Cafe.
Yeah.
And it's gone relatively well. You know, we've had a few bugs. One of the bugs right now that we're going to have worked out. We hope to have it worked out today, but we're going to have it worked out early next week when you walk in. You'll be able to hear the show.
Oh, over
right,
there.
Right now you can't do that, but that's coming.
Yeah. All right.
So we've had quite a few guests in and out today. Marshall Barber, one of our leading former radio personalities.
Yeah.
Tell everybody in this town now is a former radio personality. Steve and Nancy Boyd have stopped by to say hi.
Oh, they did? How about that?
Yeah, they're over there.
I thought I recognized them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's we've had quite a crowd. And
couldn't figure out.
This is going to work out very, very well, I think.
Right. Steve was on the show right before the election, remember? And I'd predicted on your show that Lynn would overturn.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the Friday before the election on Tuesday. That was.
You were maybe the only person that I have talked to that actually predicted a Lynn Jenkins victory. I did not see that train coming down the track.
Well, it was a good question, though. You asked what I saw as a surprise, and that's the one.
And you were absolutely right on. I didn't see it because, again, I am a dedicated right-of-center voter. But Nancy Borders' constituent service was so good. Her energy level, like nobody will ever see in that office again, too.
But it's letting carry the day. So bad. So bad. Didn't represent us. But.
Well, the majority of voters in the 2nd District obviously agreed with you on that because it was, I thought, the major upset of the evening. And I had another very, very good friend whose race I was involved in, and of course that was Eric Rucker's race. That train I could see coming down the track
because
his opponent had done, and it's politics.
Well, it's money. It's money, too. I mean, he...
A very effective job of just Eric Rucker, Phil Klein. Eric Rucker, Phil Klein.
And he had the money to put it out there. He spent triple the money that that Eric was able to raise. It's all about the bucks. It's kind of how Laura Kelly keeps getting elected. $205,000 this year to beat an unknown...
Is that what the state senate race in your district, the seat you used to hold?
That's what she spent.
She spent over $200,000.
Amazing.
That's
way outside of
legislature.
Anybody.
Legislature, if a senator in a state senate race, if you spent $50,000, I mean, this was over-the-top spending. And now we're into $200,000 races
that's
in Shawnee County. That's incredible.
Well, the sad part is most of the money didn't come from Shawnee County. I mean, that was outstate. I mean, out of state.
Where's the challenger going to go to raise that kind of money to challenge an incumbent, regardless of who that incumbent is?
Well, it's going to take a good challenger, a really good, strong challenger with name recognition could beat her with $80,000. $80,000 to $90,000, even though she's going to spend quarter million or $200,000.
Yeah, $80,000 to $90,000, that still sounds like a lot of money to me.
It is a lot of door knocking, that's for sure.
Oh boy.
But anyway,
let's get into one of the issues. Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. This is the hour where we talk about gardening.
Right.
Lots to talk about. Folks, if you have a question...
I see you brought some stuff there.
Well, I have. If you have a question, folks, 295-1193, you can give us a call, or you can always email your questions in at jim.cates@cjonline.com. You want to get into the gardening issues?
Sure.
Something I brought out of my yard. My neighbor. Lord, he's troublesome at times. You know, we have that god-awful trumpet vine.
Right.
That I spent, I don't know how much money on last year. I think it's all eradicated.
Watch very carefully if you can. If there's some little bits that come out in late March, early April, if you can hit that with the Kilzol again, you'll truly be on top of it. Don't let it get a start again.
Or toe hold. I won't.
Whenever it turns, if any part of it turns green, just get after it.
If I spray this Kilzol on my neighbor, what happens?
On your neighbor? Well, he's not green, so it's not going to do anything to him.
It won't do anything to him.
He might pop you in the nose or something.
Okay, because this is something else that is growing in my neighbor's yard. It's a tree. And describe what I'm holding. This would be a large cocklebur, I guess, is what it appears to be.
Well, yeah, it appears to be. It's a small ping pong ball with spikes on the end of it. And what that is, of course, is the sweet gum fruit off the sweet gum tree you have here. And it's very prolific last year.
Yeah, it was in my neighbor's yard. Is in my neighbor's yard, but the branches hang over into my yard, and I must have 1,000 of these things. And again, they, as Dave described to them, it looks like just a small brown ping pong ball
with the spikes on it.
With spikes on it.
Yeah.
It's all over the yard.
Yeah, they are.
But this tree's been there for a long time. I don't remember as many of these things in my yard over the past 16 years, because we've lived in that house for 16 years, as I have found over the winter, this winter, and going into the spring.
And the reason for that was the previous year, 2007, April 16, 17, and 18, the tree got frozen back and did not have any production, any seed production. You didn't have those the previous year. Or if you did, it was very few, because we had 3 days of 16-degree temperatures in mid-April after everything had budded out. So the flowers got burnt off of that tree. It didn't flower, so it didn't produce this seed ball. But last year, in 2008, it made up for lost production and produced twice as many last year, just to make up for the year previously. So
So if we have a hard, freeze in April, we can anticipate this is going to be the result then later in the year?
The following year. You won't have any this year if you have a hard freeze, but the following year you'll have twice as many again. But a hard freeze in April is after warm weather is very unusual. I mean, that was a record-setting event, 100-year event. What you can do to eliminate these, at least on your side of the line, is there's a product called Florel, F-L-O-R-E-L.
Okay.
And just as the leaves are opening up, there'll be a tiny little flower that will open kind of simultaneously with that. You watch that flower as it develops. You have to walk out there and take a look at it, close look. And when it's fully open, then you spray with the Florel on your side, and then that'll eliminate, sterilize that flower, and it will produce these precious little ping pong balls with the spikes on them.
Okay.
There is a fruit eliminator.
There is a way to...
It's a fruit eliminator, and it's not a
now what's
harmful
tree
chemical.
Called again? It's called a what tree?
Sweet gum.
Sweet gum tree.
Mm-hmm. Now, in years since this tree was planted, you said this was a big old tree.
Yeah.
They now have them developed where they're male sterile. So you can have a sweet gum tree without the...
Not have this nonsense.
And not have these little trashy things. That's been done. So if you're coming out, a sweet gum is a beautiful tree in the fall. It's got great color, dark red color, and it's a nice shaped and large shade tree that doesn't have many bad characteristics except this.
Is it a hardwood or a
softwood?
It's
a hardwood. Sweet gum
is
hardwood.
So if my neighbor takes an extended vacation, which he does upon occasion, if he takes an extended out-of-state vacation, sweet gum, it does make good firewood?
Yeah. Great firewood.
I think I know where we're headed. Okay. All right, Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center, 295-1193 if you have a question. Or you can email us at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Stay tuned, more to come.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Fairy residence, Tooth speaking. Sorry, there's no credit fairy here. What's that? He magically raises your credit score? Yeah, there's no credit fairy. But you can improve your credit by paying bills on time and keeping your credit card balances low. Money under your pillow? Sorry, kids only.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. Brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw six war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures, the eaters of men, cannibals. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. Four figures were tearing through the jungle. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, thinking only of his canoe. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
We're back. And we are back. Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. Have we given the location?
No, not yet.
We haven't?
No.
You're located at 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road. Where in the world is 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road?
We're catty-cornered across from the fire station right there at the flashing red light. Straight south from Goodyear if you're going to get off of Highway 24. And that's the easiest way, Jim points out, when you're coming from the southwest and come over the Westgate Bridge, if you'll just continue past Lower Silver Lake Road and take the Highway 24 turnoff, the second right-hand turnoff exit, and then proceed east to the Goodyear plant exit, and it's well marked. Get off there and continue eastbound a little bit on the frontage road, and that road turns into the road that can't do anything else except drive into a junkyard. That turns into the road that leads to the greenhouse from the north. That way you don't have to worry about the speed traps that our city police have set up from time to time on Lower Silver Lake Road, and you don't have to worry about one of the 125 trains that crosses Lower Silver Lake Road throughout a 24-hour period there at the train tracks, the double train tracks.
This is an easy way to beat all that.
I have a couple of questions for you.
Well, let's just go with, we'll take them one at a time. Question number one, Trish.
They're both from Bill.
Old Bill?
And just a comment about your tree. He had, a neighbor had one.
Uh-huh.
And he offered to cut it up and haul it off if he would have someone cut it down for him, and the neighbor jumped on it, and the tree's gone.
Well,
and
really?
Yeah.
Well,
and his
pretty
question
lucky.
Is...
So is old Bill volunteering to come over and cut down my neighbor's tree?
Well, Bill, email us back and see. His question is, can I use this around my tulips also?
The weed-free zone product?
Probably the something.
The Florel? Around his tulips?
Yeah, why would you not want tulips to bloom?
Yeah, I can't figure out why you would use Florel around tulips. Uh-huh. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I would say probably not. I mean, I don't know what the point would be.
Yeah,
the weed-free zone.
Maybe he meant the weed stuff.
Well, what you'd use around tulips would be the Dimension product that would keep the crabgrass and weeds from coming up before they germinate. You do that at any time before the red buds reach full bloom. You can keep the weeds from coming up with our Treflan weed preventer granules or our Dimension weed preventer granules.
Hey, Dave, scoot your mic in just a teeny.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go. Okay, thanks.
All right, that's question number one. Question number two.
Well, his comment, it was just the comment about the tree.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, Bill, I appreciate it. Yeah, if you want to come out and help me solve a neighbor's tree, let's wait until the neighbor takes off and goes to Arizona.
Well, maybe he started raking these up. Folks tell me that...
He doesn't rake them up.
Oh.
No.
I see.
No.
Mm-mm. Well, they tell me that a good, healthy tree like this, you can get 7 big trash bags full out of, at least. I've had folks come in and tell me that they've gotten, of those 30-gallon trash bags, they'll take 7 or 8 of them out from under those trees.
Really?
Just of these.
Now, I could probably fill one trash bag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with these little spiked-up doobie-flotchies.
So what are you going to do with these? Mow them up real fine?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to try to talk Nancy into going there and picking them up this weekend for a little exercise. I'm not...
I noticed you sent her over to the greenhouse this weekend.
Well, I promised I was going to be by Saturday. I didn't have a chance to make it.
She did.
But Nancy came over and got, by the way, speaking of weed-free zone,
mm-hmm.
We sprayed that on our chickweed
uh-huh.
and the sheep sorrel,
uh-huh.
Both of which appear to be doing quite well. Do I just keep spreading it until they're tired of seeing me come out the yard with a spray bottle? When do we start seeing the results of that weed-free zone?
Well, you should, when you go home, when did you spray it, last Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you go home today, you should start to see if that stuff was green when you sprayed it on, green enough. We didn't get the rain or anything, so it's going to take a little bit longer for it to work. The plant's not absorbing that much moisture from the soil, so it's not growing as fast. So it'll take a little bit longer, but there's no need to reapply until for another week or so.
Okay.
It's just going to take a little bit longer for the damage to show up.
If you're spraying in a hot or a mild, dry climate, it's going to take a while for it to take hold.
Right. It's been dry, and that slowed the growth down, so that also slows the translocation of the chemical as well, and it'll take a while. But,
okay. So normally 2 weeks... 10 days.
Two weeks. Give it 2 weeks before you try again. And for sure, the second time around, you should get those two weeds without any trouble. Now,
I'm out spraying once a week. If spraying once is good, spraying it twice is better.
Well, certainly you can.
It's not going
to
develop an immunity if I'm out there.
No, there's no way it can develop an immunity. It's a translocation deal. So you're good with that. Unless somebody comes in and modifies, does some gene modification, they could make a weed that's.
So with this rain we had last night,
right? That
should take care of it then.
Yeah, it should.
Fairly good. And again, chickweed, as you pointed out on the show last week, this is something that can absolutely take over a yard if you leave it go unchecked within a very short period of time.
It can.
Rather than having a zoysia yard, rather than having a fescue yard, you're going to have a chickweed yard. Get
good.
That under control ASAP as quick as you can.
As quickly as you can.
And that is the weed-free zone product that does that.
Well, by Fertilome, it's the best product. You'll see some competitors have one with the word zone in it as well, but ours has more chemical per bottle than the competitor, and it actually costs a little less than what I've seen advertised at your West Lakes or your box stores, any of that kind of stuff. It's
well, Dave, I know you came prepared to talk about a... You've got a topic or two, I'm sure.
Yep.
I've got one later on, but let's get into your topics. Dave Jackson with Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center.
What I forgot to mention this last week is that it's time for folks to bring in hanging baskets and their patio pods right now for us to plant up. This is a recycling kind of a program. If you've got lots of hanging baskets and things like that, rather than go out and buy new hanging baskets, bring out the old ones, and we'll plant them up with what you want in them. Then we'll take them to the back of the greenhouse, grow them out. You come back and get them after Mother's Day when it's actually safe to bring them out. They'll be fully grown. They'll be planted with what you want in them, and you will have saved money. You'll save roughly 30-40% over what you'd pay for a new hanging basket and recycled your old one. For folks that have patio pots and all of that kind of thing, do the same deal. We had somebody bring in 20 of them here just this past week. We'll take in any 1 year 400-500 baskets to plant for people and keep growing. We've developed a pretty good system to keep track of your baskets. We don't we trial and error through the years. You learn the hard way, but they're all properly marked, and we've learned to put them back in one of the greenhouses where customers can't go and find them and bring them up. So they'll have your name on them, and you save money, and we get to grow for you.
Okay.
I got another comment from old Bill.
Okay.
He wanted to know if he could use the over-the-top on his tulips.
Yes.
Okay.
No problem. Over-the-top is no problem.
What is over-the-top?
That's if the weeds and grass have already come up, primarily grass, the over-the-top product will kill out the grass and a few minor broadleaf weeds, but mostly crabgrass, those kinds of things. You spray it and it doesn't kill your broadleaf ornamentals such as your tulips or your salvia, whatever you might have out there. It's particularly popular in iris beds because folks seem to let their iris beds grow over with crabgrass. It's tough to get that stuff out of there. But over the top is a product that we sell, Fertilome product, that works just great.
And that's the product that works best. Okay.
It is.
Let's take a break and let's find out what it is that you want to talk about today.
Okay.
And then I've got a topic as well. It's all coming up, and folks, if there's something that you specifically want us to talk about, address on the show, you can always call us at 295-1193, or you can always email us at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Because, A, this is Dave Jackson's show, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center, but B, it's also your show. We want to make sure that we're answering your questions as it pertains to gardening, anything that is green that's out there in your yard. This is your show. We just want to make sure that we're answering your questions. So give us a call at 295-1193 or jim.cates@cjonline.com. Stay tuned.
You got got money to save. You got money to save, you better roll with a plan, cause with an IRA you'll get some tax relief. You better roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Make your money move and roll it over to Rock Shoemaker. You better rack in your brains trying to find an aid to lend a helping hand for your retirement plans. You better roll it on over.
Roll it on over.
Let Roger take over.
Let Roger take over.
Make your money move and roll it over to Roger Shoemaker.
Many people are looking at retiring or in transition between jobs. If this sounds like you, roll it on over and call me, Roger Shoemaker, to receive your complimentary, independent rollover portfolio strategy analysis at 785-228-0222. That's 228-0222. Securities are offered through Next Financial Group, member FINRA SIPC.
Make your money move and roll it over to Roger Shoemaker.
This is Joe Perry and Steven Tyler of Aerosmith for Red. You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party down. Just don't get in that 2,000-pound bullet when you're done and cocked. And please don't drink and drive.
I'm the one that jaded you.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Placing 18th in the last Summer Olympics didn't earn many headlines for the Netherlands, and we rarely talk about who is 18th in line to succeed the president. When it comes to the health and well-being of Kansas children, 18th place isn't worth writing home about. The 2008 Kids Count Report, a nationwide study of the well-being of children, ranks Kansas at 18th. Though we continue to take steps that will improve the lives of Kansas children, we can do more. Find out what it takes to become the best state in the nation to raise a child. Visit Kansas Action for Children, KAC.org.
Hey, Jack, you got a sec? Jack, your hair's on fire.
Yeah, I know. I just need to finish this sales report and then I'll lie down for a bit.
But shouldn't I...
No, I'll be fine.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly has trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
We're back with Jim Cates at CJOnline.com, your source for live internet news, opinion, interviews, and conversation in Topeka. Here's Jim.
You're back.
And we're back with Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. And folks, we do this each and every Friday, February through November, December.
Yeah.
Something from Jim Edmondson.
I think it takes us all the way up to the end of November. I didn't read it, actually, what we finally figured out.
Well, I can't read it. Jim sent me an email and he said, attached is our agreement with Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center.
Oh.
And that's all well and good. But Jim doesn't understand, well, I've got to get Nancy involved.
Ah, exactly.
I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
I got you.
Yeah, so we will work that out somehow, some way. We'll get to the contract and agreement that's in that computer somewhere to be found. I know it's there.
Okay.
Hey, Dave, something that came up last night, I was going to talk about it earlier this morning, never got around to it. This has nothing to do with gardening. But folks, again, if you have a gardening question, you can give us a call, 293-1193, or email us at jim.cates@cjonline.com. In the Capital Journal this morning, Bill Graves was back in Kansas, and he was in Lawrence last night, gave a speech, and wants to lower our nation's speed limit to 65 miles an hour.
Is that what's in the editorial? I haven't gotten the chance.
No, it's not in the editorial.
Oh, okay. It's on the front page. Okay, yeah.
What group was this?
I'm amazed that you didn't. That wasn't more of a deal. Anderson Chandler with Fidelity State Bank sponsors this this once a year, twice a year, depending on how things go. Speaker series for the School of Business at Washburn, and of course it's at the Leid Center, and he pays for the speaker to come in, and so you have these people. He had Matt Rose in a couple years ago, remember, the chairman of the Burlington Northern and a Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a series that he started in 1997 and continued since then. Well, anyway, Mr. Chandler then has rows 3 and 4 across the lead center, front and center of the, and 5, I think. But anyway, I was invited to go with his group down there in a van and watched the governor give his speech, and then he answered questions afterwards. The governor looks good. He was doing well, but of course he does. He's the party line now for the American Trucking Association, and they want to lower speed limits to a nationwide limit of 65. Now, of course, in some states, they'll be reducing that.
Why would the Truckers Association want to reduce the speed limit? Because the Truckers Association, they're in the business of transporting goods from point A to point B.
Right.
If I'm at point B and I've ordered goods from point A, I want to get those goods in my warehouse, in my store, ASAP.
Right.
I don't want some trucker fooling around out there for 4 or 5 days, tooling down the highway at 45 miles an hour, just kind of meandering along, not really that concerned about getting goods from point A to point B.
Why
would all people,
yeah,
the Truckers Association, want to reduce speed limits?
Well, of course, the one that sells, or the one that they say, this is my cynical side, but they say, well, it's safer.
Doing it for the children.
Something like that. But, of course,
that gets the nonsense out of the way. Now, the other 2 points.
The fact of the matter is, it's not safer. The studies have shown that Nebraska, that has a 75-mile-an-hour speed limit on Interstate 80, has fewer deaths. They also, not only per million miles traveled, but overall fewer deaths than Kansas does on the same stretch on Interstate 70. Not only is Interstate 80 longer than Kansas's Interstate 70, it's more heavily traveled, and it has a higher speed limit, yet it has a way lower death rate than Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in total deaths every year. And so that's bogus.
Okay.
The
point B and C, then.
The point B, of course, is...
Because they're doing it for the children.
Yeah.
Argument never fails.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
But that's the one that they think they can make stick, I guess.
Your heartstrings, yeah.
They get to, if everybody's traveling at 65, then they have a little more lane freedom, and they feel like they can move. Point. The other point was, of course, they'll get better fuel economy, and that's the bottom line. If all of the truckers are driving at 65, and then they'll raise their fuel economy about 10 or 15%, which is significant in a truck. And but the fact
so
is
if
that
a trucker wants to reduce, if they want to increase fuel economy,
right?
They want to reduce the cost of operating that truck.
Mm-hmm.
Then that trucker can slow down to 65 now, can't they?
They can.
We are not mandating the trucks run at 70 miles an hour out on the interstate.
But everybody else will get better fuel economy too, and isn't that a wonderful thing? A smaller carbon footprint.
Yeah.
That's the third pitch.
They've got the choice now.
Yeah, the third pitch is
they can either get goods to somebody on time, or they can reduce fuel costs.
Right. Now you got to remember that the American Trucking Association only has 37,000 members.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's less by far. That's less than a third of the trucking companies out there. And the trucking companies that aren't members vote with their foot, basically, and they, instead of taking Interstate 70 through Kansas, they go up to Interstate 80. In other words, something coming out of St. Louis that would be most direct coming through Kansas, they change and go to Interstate 80 and go into Denver from there.
Where they can get there faster from point A to point B.
Right. And, of course, Chicago, no question, they're going to stay on Interstate 80 all the way through Nebraska, and even if they're going to Colorado Springs and it's been closer for them to come through a little bit through Kansas, they're going around. So that's, we're losing as Kansans, we're losing to Nebraska and some of the surrounding states because they have the higher speed limits on the interstates. And of course, the reason I may be a little more passionate about my disagreement with that is because they lie about saving lives. And I can't stand folks that come out and just say that, well, they can't support it. But it sounds reasonable. So anyway, and when I was in the Senate, state Senate, I carried the bill, and it passed the Senate and the House. We thought we had the bill done deal, but then in the conference committee, it fell down because the two committee chairmen disagreed over how many miles per hour over the speed limit that would be allowed before you started to get points on your on your insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So it never got adopted. It just, we had it all the way through, and at the end, no agreement was reached, so there was never a conference committee report. And so that's, and that was 5 years ago, and that we would have been, have the speed limit up to 75, and that didn't happen.
Did Governor Graves, former Governor Graves, give any indication of where this stands on a national level? Or,
there's really nothing.
Traction
that,
there?
None.
Is starting to get traction in Kansas from rural members of Congress supporting reducing the speed limit?
No.
We
didn't give any indication at all that there was any sort of traction. He just wanted, he had to,
just
as a representative
to make headlines?
Right. Exactly. And to let the folks know that he was out there. The people that he represents, he's out there representing the party line. But anyway, the governor looked good. He did a nice job. And, that was the one point that we disagreed on the most.
Anything else come out in his speech that was noteworthy, newsworthy? I know that was obviously the story in today's Capital Journal, was the 65-mile-an-hour bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, he talked a little bit about the things that truckers are going to be doing to increase fuel economy in their vehicles. He gave credit to my cousin, Dwight David Eisenhower, for the development of the interstate systems, which I thought was very nice. I mean, he pointed out that significantly probably was one of the most significant developments in the whole, at least the second half of the the 20th century, was the development of interstates and the movement of goods and services. He talked about how truckers are going to a single wide tire now, and that there'll be fender skirts on trucks to further streamline the trucks. That also that they can, the biggest customer for railroads is the truckers. UPS is the biggest shipper.
We need a single tire. We're getting away from 18 wheelers and going to
18 wheelers.
9 wheelers.
Yeah, not 9. But where you see a dual going down the road on the back of your trailer, instead of being 8 tires on that back end, there will be 4.
Uh-huh.
4 super tires. With less tire pads, there's less rolling resistance. Now, of course, with less tire pads, there's also less stopping resistance. So that concerns me a little bit, and maybe that's the other reason they want, the unstated reason they want to reduce the speed limit, that everybody's driving slower so that your trucks can stop.
That's going to be a lot of weight on that one tire, because the reason we had 18 wheels was basically to distribute that truck weight.
Right, and that tire patch.
And now we go from 18 to 10 or 8 or however many tires we're going to.
Well, there'd be 18 on the back end, and I mean, there's 8 would go to 4 on the back end of the trailer, and 8 on the back end of the tractor.
It's going to be one tough tire.
4. Yeah, it is a tough tire. But the problem is, of course, also, with less tire patch, there's going to be more road damage, because that road damage is going to be in a certain specific spot. You know, if when you spread the weight, you can get by with more weight. But with less tire contact on the pavement, you're really going to see some problems.
More wear and tear.
On the highway. You're really going to see that ditching that you see on asphalt highways.
In fact, we've allowed, you know, the trucking industry possibly to take it to points that they shouldn't have taken on weight per tire.
Right.
Because that is tearing down.
Your home state found that out really.
Missouri.
Really.
They increased the weight per axle.
Right. Missouri was one of the last states to do that, or maybe the first state, I don't remember, but their roads went to shreds, and for a long time had, of course, our beloved governor said how dangerous it was driving from Kansas City to St. Louis on Interstate 70.
But again, you know, the trucking lobbyist in Missouri, a lot of clout.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, you know, they were increasing the weight that a truck could carry.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, you know, the roads in Missouri have disintegrated to where they look like the streets of Topeka.
Right.
And as a result of that, you know, the Missouri taxpayers are going to have to belly up.
Well, they already have. They passed that 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And their price of gasoline jumped 4 or 5 cents.
And I don't believe they lowered the weight per axle.
No.
They,
oh, no. Oh,
so the truckers can still roll along.
Right.
With a heavy, heavy, heavy weight per axle limit in
Missouri
as opposed to Kansas and other states. Yeah.
Yep. We need to talk about the lawn care programs. That's what's really been of interest to gardeners this year, one of the steps that folks could take right now.
What do we need to be doing right now for the 26th?
If you've got the problem with the chickweed and henbit like you did,
mm-hmm.
you can either apply with liquid the weed-free zone.
Mm-hmm.
Next week it's going to warm up, and we're going to hopefully get a little moisture according to that, and you'll get a good kill on that stuff before it goes to seed. Liquid, or we have it in a granular,
mm-hmm.
the weed-free zone. You can put it down either way to kill the early season weeds, broadleaf weeds,
mm-hmm.
like you have, and like so many people have. That could be done right away. It can be done as a part of your overall Fertilome program. We'll design your program for you. And I noticed in the Westlake ad, their cost of Scotch and the stuff, those prices have gone astronomically high. Not that Fertilome hasn't increased, but our product is less under Scotch price, and we have better chemistry in our bags than they do.
In Fertilome, Dave Jackson, you're going to find Fertilome products at local garden centers. You're not going to find Fertilome products at your big box stores.
No, right. It's independent garden centers. It's a co-op, and Skinner's our competition, and we handle it in town now.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Brother Brett has dropped it, but we're the two now left. Hefner's, of course, haven't closed up. At one time, Hefner's was one of the biggest dealers in the United States of Fertilome.
Well,
they did that good a job with it, and we're trying to get there. But hopefully, this year we'll crack the top 100 in the United States in terms of Fertilome sales.
Now, Hefner's used to be at 6th and Fairlawn.
Mm-hmm.
That was
good folks, good people, long time there.
What's going to go in at 6th and Fairlawn?
Well,
I talked about this a few months ago. Undetermined then.
Undetermined. The rumor was that Dwight McClure was looking at that property for further development. That was the rumor.
Okay, not a garden center.
Mm-mm. No, it's not located right. The property itself has more value in terms of multiple family housing and or some commercial mixed in.
Than it does for a traditional garden center.
Right.
Okay.
In that particular location.
Okay. So now is the time to take care of your chickweed, your henbit, your sheep sorrel, if you've got that, which I do.
Uh-huh.
Soon to be eliminated.
Yep,
hopefully.
Soon to.
Okay. That needs to be done now.
Yeah, that should be done now. The other thing you can do now is four seasons crabgrass and broadleaf weed preventer. For those broadleaf weeds and for crabgrass that haven't come up, that's a product that can be put down now and will last without question all the way through Labor Day. Just a great product. It has your early spring fertilizer in it too as well. And that should go down any time between now and the 1st of April. If you get that down, then you don't positively won't have to worry about crabgrass all the way through September.
Mm-hmm.
And also eliminate some of the broadleaf weeds like the ground ivy and those kinds of things that come up later.
Mm-hmm.
The warm season annual weeds, you'll eliminate those that haven't germinated yet. Chickweed and henbit,
mm-hmm.
and your sheep sorrel. Sheep sorrel is a perennial, but the other two are called winter annuals. They germinated last fall. They come up and go to seed right away in the spring before you hardly even get a chance to notice that they're there, and then they die off. So it's pointless, really, to wait until after that chickweed and henbit's bloomed and then kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, I'd tell people save their money because they've already got the seed out there now. Wait until fall. You can put this four all seasons down again in the fall,
mm-hmm.
if you wish, in mid-October. It's so good that it'll prevent crabgrass from coming up as well, clear through August of the following year, and it also prevents the broadleaf weeds, chickweed and henbit, from germinating, and dandelion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great fall application as well. That's why it's called for all seasons.
Is this animal friendly? I say that because we live on a lake.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I sprayed last Sunday
with
weed-free zone.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to weed-free zone.
Mm-hmm.
When I sprayed my sheep sorrel and sprayed my chickweed.
Yeah.
A lot of this was down toward the shoreline.
Right.
We've got a lot of geese
mm-hmm.
that come out on our property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the geese were nibbling away, I thought, at possibly the sheep sorrel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Seeing dead geese?
Huh?
You seeing dead geese?
Well, I didn't. Are we going to? Is it animal friendly? Is it?
Well, as soon as it's dry on the plant, it's absorbed into the leaf. So this goose would have to eat about a half a ton of it. If he did, then you wouldn't have any weeds. That'd be good too. I mean,
well, that'd be all right.
Yeah.
But this isn't going to. If you've got a dog or a cat, I don't know many dogs that are out eating sheep sorrel,
right?
Plants or eating chickweed,
right?
But if you do have an animal, if you've got geese, ducks in your backyard,
you wouldn't want a pet out there rolling in it, and then like a cat rolling in it, and then licking it off their fur right after you put it on. I don't know that that'd be particularly good. Probably still wouldn't be enough to harm it. But you know, you wouldn't want that on the rocks and drink it yourself. I mean, that wouldn't be good.
Don't do that. Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center, 295-1193, or jim.cates@cjonline.com. Stay tuned. More to come.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
I want to change some things. I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life: education, income, and health.
I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalk.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Some teens have trouble just making it to graduation.
If it wasn't for my best friend Enrique, I would have just been out working already right now, like working at a factory, you know, making little pay, like $5. I would have been like one of the other kids, they like dropouts. He tells me, don't do it, please don't do it, you know. If I wasn't a real friend, I would have never told you this. You know, I would just keep shut and just let you do it. He opened my eyes even more.
Give Danny the boost he needs to graduate. Go to boostup.org and send him a message in your own words. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Okay. We're back with Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center, 295-1193, or jim.cates@cjonline.com. And Dave, we're going to be here every Friday here at the Roundabout Cafe. They've got a Jim Cates breakfast special this week.
Oh.
Biscuits and gravy.
How about that?
Less than $3, along with coffee. Now what we need on Fridays is a Dave Jackson special.
Yeah, what would we do?
I don't know.
Mixed greens?
Could be mixed greens, huh? Maybe all the fish.
Yeah, there you go.
Huh?
Yeah.
That could work.
That's a good lawyer joke, too.
What's that?
You've seen it on the internet, surely. The one about the lawyer. The lawyer was driving down the highway and saw these people out there eating grass. To his chauffeur, stop the car. Let me get out and talk to these people. And he did. And the guy said, "Well, we're just broke with the economic downturn. We don't have any money. So my family is out here. My wife and I and my two kids are gonna have to eat grass here for a while until we can get on our feet again." And this guy said, "Oh, you can't do that. Hop in my car." And said, but my buddy's over here on the other side of the road, and he's got his wife and himself and four kids. Oh, well, there's plenty. Have them get in my car, and we'll take them on home. So they do. They jump in the car, and they get to the lawyer's big estate. Said, hop out now. My grass is way taller than that grass you were eating on. I'm a terrible joke teller, but...
Bruce, you give him a grade on that one, huh?
That was good.
All right, one to ten, what do you get a grade at, Bruce?
About two, the way I tell it, but I thought
I'll
it was
give
funny.
You a six.
Not bad, not bad, huh? I was going to go a four and a half. So.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I should never try to tell a joke, but
I bet it too.
Anyway.
David Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. And it's, what, 10:45? We'll just have a joke of the week at 10:45.
No.
Huh?
That's too much pressure. That's too much pressure. But
hey, let's talk about something that isn't a joke because it's going to be on the April the 7th ballot. And I know this is an issue that you're concerned about, well-being. A former elected official at several levels in this community.
Now, did we have a primary already?
Tuesday.
This Tuesday?
This Tuesday.
Okay.
But, you know, we've changed the law on our primaries that we no longer have two candidates advancing into the general. We now have three.
What? When did that happen?
Well, I don't know. I was asleep at the switch.
I guess.
It happened last year.
Really?
And we had a group of county clerks, basically, that... had a bill introduced raising the number of individuals that would automatically go from the primary to the general election. The purpose of this was a cost-cutting measure where we're going to have fewer primaries. Because if you have three candidates running for an elective office, you don't have a primary.
Right.
All three candidates automatically go to the general, advance to the general.
Right.
So supposedly this was done as a cost-cutting measure.
So
the thing passed virtually without objection in the House and the Senate. The governor signed it into law. So
do you have to, so the opponent, the guy that wins, doesn't have to have a majority?
No.
Just the highest vote getter.
Well, you've got three that moved to the general.
Right. But a guy that gets 40% is going to be the winner.
He could win, absolutely, in the general election. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, see, in other places that have that, they have a runoff if nobody gets 50%, if they have more than, if they have three candidates and nobody gets 50%, then they have to have the two top run against each other to get the majority. That's, I don't know. I'm not sure that I like that a lot.
Well,
I mean,
nobody really gave this thing a lot of thought until it had passed.
Mm-hmm.
And because I kept seeing this in the Cap Journal, you know, talking about three people advancing to the general. I said, well, it's just a misprint, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it isn't a misprint. We've got three now that legitimately will advance into the general election. So.
But we digress. We were going to talk about the April election.
Yes, we were. April the 7th, that's when we've got fine-tuning our form of government issue on the ballot, and that doesn't amount to much.
No, it doesn't. We need to overhaul it.
Yeah. Well, all that's going to happen is giving the city council the power to override a mayoral veto. Everybody's in agreement on that, so it's going to be a no-brainer.
But will it still take seven votes then? Because the mayor gets to vote according to that charter. If they don't change anything else, there's 10 ballots, and so an override takes 2/3, and that's 7.
Well, not a lot's changing there as far as the mayor being a part of the governing body.
Okay.
You know, if it's traditional ordinances, the mayor still won't have a vote. He'll have a veto. The mayor won't have a veto on anything that he can vote on. So that changes a little.
Oh, okay. All right.
There's some fine-tuning of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if the mayor has a vote, the mayor doesn't have veto power over something that he can vote on.
Well, that needed to be cleaned up.
Votes.
That was exactly what the mayor and I had told everybody when that resolution was passed years ago. We said, this can't work.
Yeah.
Look at it. But anyway, they went ahead and did it and found out it can't work.
It can't work.
But we were going to talk about sales tax.
Yeah, and the sales tax, I don't know how closely you followed it, because since you've gotten back from vacation, I know you've been busy at Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden
Center.
Have
we?
Oh, boy. But what happened last Tuesday night, there were two proposals on the table. Okay. One was a full-blown Hefferson sales tax increase that was going to be used for infrastructure improvements, and the door was kind of left open to where some of that money possibly could be diverted, you know, for downtown Topeka improvements, north Topeka, the whole nine yards. And that had a 20-year sunset on it. Bill Haynes had a proposal on the table, and I still like Bill's the best. That basically was a half a cent sales tax increase broken down into four components.
Four, okay.
To where 0.2 cents was going to be dedicated for street, curb, and sidewalk repairs. And then there were going to be three other components that you could either vote those up or down. If you considered a true need to be met in the community, vote for the arts.
Right.
You know, or vote for downtown Topeka, whatever it was.
Right.
And Brett Blackburn completely screwed that up because at the end of the evening, there was an amendment to the Hayes sales tax proposal that basically took it to a full-blown half a cent with a 10-year sunset. And it's not broken down at all. I mean, you're either voting a full half a cent up or down, and the money is going to be specifically earmarked for infrastructure, street, curb, and sidewalk improvements. So that much was accomplished. But Lane's proposal, as it was originally introduced, out the window as a result of one of our city council members that, thank God, he's going to be gone in a month or so, screwing this thing up royally. But having said that, that's where the issue now stands. Now, I know you've been involved in the Topeka Independent Business Association. We basically have two interest groups that are going to be actively hands-on involved in this issue.
Correct. Chamber of
Commerce. Chamber of Commerce. They met last week. They're formally going to endorse the half a cent sales tax increase.
Right.
And TIBA, the Topeka Independent Business Association, I don't think they've had their formal meeting yet.
They haven't.
They haven't.
The survey,
coming.
Survey indicated that about 80% of us disagree with the sales tax increase.
So they're going to be, TIBA, the Topeka Independent Business Association's, going to come out, and they are going to formally oppose the sales tax increase. That's where it all stands.
Right. Yep, and, you know, it's customers coming in and say, this is hard economic times, and what are they going to do? They're going to propose a sales tax increase. They need to ratchet it down like we have to and do without, find the money. Or divert some of the money that we already voted on for the bridges, the county bridges, and put that into road improvements, street improvements a little bit. I know that they're making great headway on the bridges and everything, but, and there's still a backlog of bridges that need to be fixed, but possibly the money ought to come, a tenth of a cent or 0.2 cents ought to come out of that that we already voted on. That's why we're already up at that high level. Now, of course, and not increase sales tax. As I recall, Anderson was supposed to have some kind of an article in the paper this week comparing us to all the other areas. Did that ever run? I didn't see it. Remember, he said, he mentioned that last week. And so I kind of think that with this proposed tax increase, we'll be at the top, if not.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's coming, you know, between now and April the 7th.
Right.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make us competitive with anybody else. Even Hawaii, the tax me more state, doesn't have sales tax as high as we do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, it's silly. And the other thing is, of course, it is, quote, unquote, regressive. It's a regressive tax. Not that I necessarily agree with that particular thing, but the fact of the matter is that as a portion of their income, the lower-income people will pay more of their income as a percentage than the people that are more well-off.
Yeah, the one thing we haven't had a representative of TIBA, you know, coming on officially.
I'll bet Ken would come in a heartbeat.
Well, I need to get him on. But you anticipate TIBA has basically unofficially already taken a position, and officially it's coming to where they are going to oppose the half a cent sales tax increase. Is TIBA going to endorse city council candidates, do you know?
There's been no survey so far sent out. Now, I'm not, I'm just an ancillary member because we didn't have a good enough year that I could afford their dues, and I wish I was a member. But I do get their emails and that kind of stuff, and I would like to be a member, but I've already committed to the membership to the Chamber of Commerce, and that's $300 and some odd a year dues, $350 or $60 or $70 a year dues, and then to top off another $250 for TIBAs, a little rough in terms of dues on local organizations, because there's still other local organizations that have NOTOMA and North Topeka Business Alliance, and the Optimist Club, on and on. You just can't. Pretty soon you get due that well, and of course, Nursery Association dues, Greenhouse Association dues. But anyway, we're about out of time.
We are out of time. Speaking of greenhouse, 232-3416.
Absolutely.
That's the phone number to where Dave Jackson or any member of his great staff, Dave or Annette Jackson or anybody there, can answer your questions if it pertains to something green. Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. Got the answer. 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road.
If you don't have the answer, we'll find it.
We'll look forward to seeing you next Friday at the Roundabout Cafe.
All right.
Dave, thanks a million. As always, folks, thank you so much for listening. And again, next week, when you're stopping by the Roundabout Cafe, hopefully this puppy's going to be wired for sound. It's been a great time, great week to kick this thing off. Thank you to everybody that's come out and has said hi this week and has wished us well. We really appreciate it. Next week, when you come out, you'll be able to hear the Jim Cates Show and Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center Show as well. So we hope that you will take advantage of it and come out and see us. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday at 8. I'm Jim Cates.